Wind River Resort and Casino is offering a fabulous Thanksgiving buffet on Thursday, November 26th from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Let Elements do the preparing so you can relax and enjoy your valued time with family and friends. Menu includes chef-carved breast of turkey, baked ham, and Dungeness crab with an array of holiday trimmings and delicious desserts. Adults $25.95, children $8.95. Children 8 and under eat free. Reservations preferred. Call 1-800-280-UWIN. For details, visit windriver.com. It's better at the river.
Play bingo at Wind River Resort and Casino. Bingo. Don't miss our monthly marathon, rock and roll bingo, and paper-only sessions, where 12 regular games pay $400. $25 for two books. Additional books are only $5. Plus, 10 lucky winners will be selected to play the Mystery Treasure Chest game for a mystery prize. So grab your friends and play bingo at Wind River Resort and Casino. For details, call 1-800-280-UWIN or log on to windriver.com.
Bingo calendar subject to change.
It's better at the river.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a wall, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up. Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. Yeah, we're still here.
Well, yeah, we're in the studio.
We're in the studio. Anyway. Good morning. My name is Mark Kent, and I am your host once again. It's Sunday, November 22nd. Here we go again. Yeah, exactly. I'm here in the studio with my sister Linda, as usual.
Good morning.
Who does all the heavy lifting, by the way? And Bob Martin, a trusted producer, soundboard operator, and all-around great guy.
Good morning, Mark, Red, and Linda.
Good morning.
And Red Smith, who's been on the blended glide path with an inappropriate assumption of solvency for quite some time. I finally got that out.
Yeah.
I heard one of those at Dutch Brothers the other day.
Yeah. A blended glide. Pulling a Dutch Brothers. I'd like to have a blended glide path, please.
With whipped cream.
Yeah, throw a
little hot or
iced? Throw a little whip on that, would you please? You know what I meant. So, we're streaming worldwide. You can go to the chat room at kcnr1460.com, or you can call in at 530-605-456-4567 again. That's 530-605-4567.
Freddy in there.
Yeah. Maybe you should let somebody else get the telephone numbers out.
All of our shows are podcast and archived as well.
And you can that could be good or bad.
Shut up. And so you can friend me on Facebook at Sovereign Minds. Reading Tea Party meets every Monday night at 6 p.m. at 2570 South Bonneview Destiny Fellowship. They stand for Limited Government Fiscal Responsibility and adherence to the Constitution. Who do we have on Monday?
Mark Baird
will
be. And there's a lot of updates.
Unveiling the plan for Stage 2 of the State of Jefferson. We are at the end of the beginning.
That's the one. That's the plan. That's not the blended liability
and does not have an inappropriate assumption of solvency.
Yeah, there you have it.
Yes, that's where we actually parachute out of the blended glide path and away from the impact point of the inappropriate assumption of solvency.
There you have it. So I just want to do a little shout out to Terry and Sally Raposa. You know, these guys are like the heart of the machine.
Yeah, they're the machine.
You know,
people.
They're like machines. They're like the Terminators. You know, only they're the Statinators.
Yeah, the Liberators.
The Liberators. You know,
they'll be that.
Yeah, we're going on the road again this week. So you shut up and we do what you're told.
they're all over it. I'll give them that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know how they keep going and going like they do.
You can't sit on fence like grape. You get the one side of the squashing. On the other side, you just squash them, you know. So anyway. But I just wanted to say a special thanks to both of them because of their tireless efforts. You know, there's been a lot of people involved in the state of Jefferson, but, you know, I just got to give those guys kudos because of their effort and their tireless
They keep going. They're like Duracell batteries. They keep going.
Yeah, they're like the Duracell bunny.
Yeah.
That'd be Energizer.
That'd be the Energizer. Yeah. The Duracell bunny Energizer.
Yeah.
Anyway, Tea Party stands for Liberal Government, Fiscal Responsibility, and Adherence to the Constitution. We already said that. Jefferson State of Mind was just here. We should probably play the new theme song anytime they're about.
Is that the new theme song going?
Well, this is the Shasta special.
The Shasta Special.
Yeah, the Shasta Special.
Special Shuffle.
There you go. We'd also like to go to the Shasta Land. Oh, here we go. Yeah, this is for all your Jefferson State of Minders.
Mm-hmm.
Also gives me the opportunity to take a sip of my coffee.
There you go. I just want this song wedged in the supervisor's head. There's got to be a way.
They'll probably call us racist for playing this.
Probably.
You have their cell phone numbers?
Oh, crap. I didn't even think about
that. You know how to hack their phones and make it their ringtone?
Yeah.
No, but I know somebody that probably could.
That would be good.
We could do it like Panama, just surround the Board of Supervisors and set up the loudspeakers and just keep playing the Jeffersons over and over.
We could even play a few episodes, George calling Wheezy, you know, and there's, you know.
Yeah, we could have a lot of fun with it.
There you have it. As opposed to
throw in a little Archie Bunker just for giggles.
Yeah, hey, Meathead.
Yeah, just thinking, oh, Meathead.
Dead from the neck up. But, anyway, you know, we're kind of happy about the state of Jefferson that's going on as far as Shasta County. It's been a pretty long fight uphill. And, you know, we need to continue the fight. It's not over. And it's, you know, basically, I think it just started. This is going to be the start of it. Once we get the state of Jefferson, that's just the start of it. And, you know, there's a lot of work to be done after that. So we just have to wait and see how everything's going to play out. But, you know, we're on the right track here, and it's not going to be stopped. That's really what it comes down to.
Yep.
So I don't know with the Board of Supervisors. Can you play that other clip Bob?
Hang on, just a moment.
And as you were mentioning, we're encouraging everyone to go to the Shasta Lantern.
Everybody to go to the Shasta Lantern and, you know, look at what's going on there. We apologize. We haven't put out a November issue because there's been too many things going on.
There's been way too much. The December issue is going to be fantastic and more than make up for it on the amount of stories and the quality of the stories. There's some things that we've had to investigate and vet, some things going on out at the Governor's Ranch and different questions.
But they can get information online.
They can get it online, up to date. Okay. If you want to wait for the paper, you're going to be a little bit behind the times, but it'll be there. But if you want to stay up minute to minute, date to date, online is by far the best way to go. And just know that we are on Governor Brown like a bad Brazilian wax.
Well, and in general, the problem we've had with Governor Brown, the legislature, the Board of Supervisors, City Hall, this little clip sums it right up.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach. So you get what we had here last week, which is the way he wants it. Well, he gets it. And I don't like it any more than you, man.
That's kind of how I was feeling this morning. You know, I was thinking about, you know, when we went up to the Board of Supervisors early on, I was thinking like, yeah, that's what we have here is a failure to communicate. They just look at you like with glassy eyes and, you know, like you don't have a clue and it just gets old.
Well, I especially favor the repugnant looks when the constituents walk in, the look of disdain and, oh, dear God, it's those people. They're going to make me do my job.
I got to get off the golf course for a little while. Oh, damn it, I hate that when that happens.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, let's see. What else have we got?
I
got
to get off Linda Hartman for a minute.
Ooh.
Let's not go there.
Yeah.
Now you're in the territory I really like.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Slap the pot. Frankie, slap the pot.
Turn the baby loose.
<I'll see.
laughs> Oh, boy. I'm not going to follow up with that at all. I think what I'll talk about is... The quote for the day: it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen to set brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. Samuel Adams. Okay, go ahead, play it, Bob. I mean, what the heck?
Two frogs walk into a bar. One of them does this.
Ow! Slap the punk. Call security.
Who's your daddy?
Yeah, hey. Ow!
Want a piece of me?
Frankie.
Look, he's changing colors.
Come on, squirt some tears, punk.
Frankie, I think they're upset.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, maybe you should go to our first break. We have guests in the studio. We should introduce our guests, and then we'll go to our break and come back, and then we'll talk. If anybody out there in the listening audience has any questions for our guests, maybe go ahead and introduce them, Red, and tell the listening audience who our people are.
Well, we have a couple of young Shasta County gals here that, we kind of wanted to start bringing in some younger people and ask them some questions and see what their cares and concerns are and, kind of where they're at in the situation.
Yeah, get their view on how they're looking at the political world and just the world in general, maybe.
I think we might want to put out an open invitation. I was thinking about this morning to anybody, obviously we're going to vet them a little bit, if you're from, the punk drug movement, we're probably not going to want you in here, but,
I don't think they're going to come in here.
And probably not going to make it anyway.
I don't think they're listening to AM radio this early on a Sunday.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I don't think we have to worry about that.
You never know.
But we'd like to extend the invitation to anybody who out there who wants to come in and give their point of view on things with government. We're looking for young people as well to come in and tell us what they think about things, and how things are working for them and, in the schools and the police department, the county, the city, if they even consider any of that stuff, or is it all about just, having fun? But we'd like to get more people in here and kind of get a measure of what's going on.
In our local community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with that...
you guys want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Sure.
Sure. Well, they actually need a microphone
that. We'll get that after the break, but here.
Hi, I'm Connie from Enterprise High School. I'm Journey from Shasta Charter Academy.
Oh. All right.
Okay, so we got Journey and
Connie.
Connie and Journey. Okay, that's pretty easy to remember, except I'll probably forget it.
But, probably will.
Probably because I'm getting older, and so I'm starting to,
I'm not going to say anything.
The Alzheimer, the aluminum spraying, all of that.
Huh? That's a tinfoil hat doing that.
Oh, well, the tinfoil hat on top of all that is just kind of making it simmer and percolate.
Yeah.
Shut up. Anyway, so let's go to a break, Bob, and then we'll come back.
Before we do, I want to plug in there real quick.
For
don't
the
forget
show?
About the gun show today.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm a little bit ahead
of
myself.
Jefferson is down there. MIAP's got a table down there.
Fantastic.
And I want to give a shout-out to Patrick Jones for that. I mean, he has worked with everybody to make things happen down there at the gun show, and we appreciate it. And with that, we'll go to a break.
Sure. You sure we're going to a break now? Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Do we have any other veterans events?
Yeah. We do.
Well, why don't you do that, and then we'll go to the break.
Okay, we have the Servicemen's Feast coming up on December 19th at the Veterans Hall at 1605 Yuba Street. That's where we put on a full-course dinner for firemen, EMTs, veterans, and families. Everybody come out and get a free meal that we'll be serving. We also have Wreaths Across America.
Wreaths. As opposed to Reese's.
Yeah.
On
December 12th,
Reese's
out at Igo Cemetery. Just remember, payback's a, Anyhow.
It can be.
That is on December 12th. So please
especially
come out and show.
Especially if we're on the Board of Supervisors.
So,
what Ted Nugent called Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah. Oh, there's
that.
Yeah.
And so I think that's all I have at the moment.
I guess we'll go to a break.
But with that, we'll go to a break. If you have any questions or comments, you can call in here at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
We'll just dive right on in that dirty laundry.
Can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad
the only restaurant where you can enjoy your favorite cuisine on the river. Now with our new menu additions, including classics like sweet potato fries, U202 burger, fish and chips, and the old hatch cover favorite, Mai Mai Almondine. Also new, 6 unique flatbread pizzas with toppings from beer braised chicken, spicy Italian sausage, to seared wild mushrooms. Try their smoked steelhead Benedict or the Cali Benedict with avocado and roasted tomato. And on Sunday, enjoy Linda Bott and her jazz ensemble along with bottomless mimosas and half-off bottles of wine all day. Happy Hour is every Monday through Thursday with drink and appetizer discounts. Friday nights are rocking with live music from 6 to 9. View 202 serves only the freshest local ingredients. Executive Chef Dustin, along with his staff, are passionate about their guests having an exceptional culinary experience. View 202, 226-8439. That's 226-8439.
Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our local community for making 2015 our best year yet. Your continued patronage supports 20 local jobs, and when you shop at Mighty Fine, your money stays in your community the way it should be. Daily deli specials under $5, a different hot soup served daily, groceries, meat, produce, and over 1,000 cold drinks. Mighty Fine Foods is your locally owned and operated neighborhood grocer. Mighty Fine, $2.99 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
In the 40s, Redding Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Redding Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Redding with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Redding Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Redding Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic. Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. On Monday, we welcome Wellgate Sports Club. Find out how not to splurge during this holiday season. What kind of foods can we eat and not gain a lot of weight? How to get off that couch? All of this Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
When I think back on all the crap I learned in high school, it's a wonder I can think at all. And my lack of education hasn't hurt me none. I can read the writing on the wall. Quote, I've grown. Give us the nice bright colors. Give us the greens of summers. Makes you think all the world is a sunny day. Oh, yeah. I got an iPhone camera. I love to take a photograph. And mama can say, I hope it's on the way.
This is the
second. If you took all the girls.
Sovereign Mind Radio, we're back.
We're kind of
getting hung up in the studio here. I was just trying to open up a link here from Patty and Mike, and we'll see if we can get that played sometime today in this segment here. But anyway, we're back, and we have our two. Now, what grade are you guys in? We got Connie
and Journey.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Connie and Journey, and what grade are you guys in?
I'm an 11th grade junior.
Junior?
I'm a 10th grade sophomore.
A junior and a sophomore. What do you guys talk about in school? Wow.
You know, that's about the same response I get at the dinner table.
That speaks volumes of our
school. Yeah. Pregnant pause, quiet. No, never mind that. But... you know, what do you guys talk in civics in school? Do you guys talk about the flag? Do you talk about the, is Mr. Obama a great guy? What do you guys talk about?
Yeah, what kind of things do they teach in school about that? Go ahead. Go ahead.
Talking to the tin can.
All right, cool.
There you go.
I forgot what I was going to say. I apologize.
Well, that's sure. Okay.
Oh, it's always a little nerve-wracking when you first get in here. Yeah. Just relax. Everything's fine. You know, there's only a couple of million people out there listening to every word you speak.
But they're not watching you.
Thank you. That really helps.
Yeah.
but they can't see you.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
But they are judging you.
Yeah.
Anyway, do you guys have civics classes or classes on the Constitution or anything like that in high school?
History? What about history?
Yeah.
Well,
American history?
In history, we do have U.S. history, and it's an all right class. The teacher, I feel like, at Enterprise kind of just gave up a little bit. They're not really trying anymore. We just, like, in our history class, we just get, like, papers and then tell us to, like, read the book, and we don't, like, bring books home anymore. So if you don't finish it, you just pretty much Google everything, and it's just mainly, like, finish the answers as quick as possible and then turn it at the end of the day or, like, turn it in at home.
So they're not really stressing civic responsibility?
Not anymore. They don't really talk about, like, normal, like, everyday, like, what's going on in the world. We pretty much kind of like, we used to watch CNN News, and then most of the teachers stopped doing that because they thought it was a waste of time. And, like, class, we're there to, like, be in class and learn about school stuff, not, like, learn about the news. We can do that in our own time. Hmm. And the teachers, I feel like because of Common Core, we, like, gave up a little bit. A lot of kids last year didn't do so well in school, and we all got, like, lowered. I used to be an honor student, and I'm a CP, which, like, kind of brought me down a little bit. And the CP teachers, like, try harder than honors
CP?
Is, like, how college, well, like, how college would have taught you before Common Core.
College prep, I think.
Oh, college prep, okay.
Well, CP is college prep.
Yeah.
College prep is, like, prepping you for college honors used to be how the professors used to teach you, but yeah. because of Common Core, they don't teach us like how professors used to teach you. They teach us how, like, what Common Core says to teach us.
So that's all computer-based stuff? In other words, whatever comes out of the computer is what you're learning?
Kind of, yeah. It's like, I feel like they kind of, like, stopped, like, teaching in general. Like, the book is really confusing, and there's always, like, when we have word problems, there's always that one sentence that makes no sense at all. Like, usually in most word problems, but in this, it's like, it completely throws everything they're asking you out the window.
Well, there's two reasons to write. One is to inform, and one is to confuse. What do you think they're writing, you know, do you think it's right, the tests are informing you or confusing you?
The tests, like the one you take on the subject, oh, God, those questions are horrible. I have to, like, reread them so many times to, like, understand what they're asking. And usually, I was like, an honor student, too, and then I hit high school, and it's gone downhill.
Wow.
So when you have a confusing question like that, or you don't understand, and you say to the teacher, you know, can you clarify this, what do the teachers say to you?
They usually just tell us to go back the book and look it up. But the book, how it's set up, it's, like, I'm more of a visual learner. Like, if there's going to be a problem, I need to see how, like, all the steps are done, like, physically done. Like, if you subtract, I need to actually see it physically. They do it with words, but they don't tell you they're subtracting. They say, to get to this, you get to this. And it's like, how do you, like, do that, you know? They don't really go in detail anymore. Like, in the old books, they used to have, like, regular word problems, and then they used to tell you exactly how they did it. Like, all the way how they did
it. Right, step by step.
Common Core, they skip how, like, they get to each step. And so it's kind of confusing. It's like, well, how'd you get here to here? And they kind of just leave out detail, and it's like kind of like an undetailed book that you read. It's not there anymore.
Well, what kind of things are you guys actually learning in your U.S. history class? Like, what period of U.S. history are you covering right now?
Well, honestly, you don't really get, like, U.S. history until a certain grade. The last time I had U.S. history was 8th grade,
mm-hmm.
and that's where they taught us, like, the Ten Amendments and the Bills of Rights and the Constitution and stuff like that. But since then, I haven't really had it. And so now I'm just calling it modern history. And so, like, more like Napoleon and that kind of time. That's what I'm at right now.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just kind of curious. Was there a slant on the way they, you know, painted the Founding Fathers? Were they brilliant men? Were they outdated? What were they?
Well, in my opinion, I knew a little bit about the Founding Fathers before I took my class, and I pictured them like how most American was. They made America. They did what they did to, like, make it great, and they, like, just added more to America to make it what it is now. But what from we learn about it is we usually, like, they pick out the negative sides of them, like what they didn't do or what they could have tried harder on, and it's, I don't think that's what we're about. We're supposed to know about how, where we got from point A to point B, not all the steps that it took to get there and, like, all the negative steps that it took to get there. I do understand there is negative steps, but they only focus on that, not the positive.
They never bring anything positive out about the Founding Fathers in the class?
I haven't really learned much about the Founding Fathers, and that's what kind of disappoints me. I don't really know much about them, except from what I previously learned and then some of the negative stuff.
So
all I know is George Washington had false teeth.
So if that's the case, what are they putting in place? If they're not teaching you about the Founding Fathers, what actually are they teaching you?
I feel like they skipped it. We were getting to, like, the point where they're learning about the Founding Fathers, and then now they kind of, like, skipped a whole chapter and went to the Industrial Revolution and just pretty much skipped all the important names and just went to, like, the basic, like, this is what happened. Labor workers had horrible, like, lives, and they were mistreated and got underpaid.
So capitalism sucks.
Yeah. So they went basically from the beginnings of the revolution, skipped all the occurrences,
yeah.
the success of mercantilism.
That's exactly what happened.
And went right into the socialist labor movement.
I completely feel like we, like, missed a whole giant chapter, but if you look through the book that you don't have at home, it's not there anyways.
Yeah, you know, they kind of started diluting it from when I was a kid. I learned a lot of it by studying my own, you know, going into different places and looking up original documents. What I've come to understand is that the American Revolution was the most dynamic thing that ever happened in the history of the world. In other words, if you look back at the American Revolution, when it started, people were still lighting their lamps with coal oil by a fire and a little lamp. And they were doing the same thing. That's how they had light back in the days of Egypt. in 150 years, because of freedom, we became the most prosperous, technologically advanced country in the history of the world, of mankind. And I don't even know how you can cover that up, but it seems to me what they're doing is they're completely missing the part of what freedom created in just 150 years. If you look at any other country in the history of the world, there's no electric lights. There's no automobiles. All of that stuff came from America. I mean, they don't teach you any of that, huh?
No, and I honestly believe, like, that is true, and they just kind of missed it. Like, they're forgetting the fact that we're not this cruddy person that was awful to our, like, people, and we completely just destroyed everything. They're missing the fact that we created a lot of good, and that's not being represented in our books anymore. It's mainly just all the negative stuff that came from life, not the good.
The Indian Trail, the slaves, and they just talk about, like, all the really bad, like, negative stuff, like she was saying, and that's all it is anymore.
So in essence, what you're saying is they really are kind of promoting the angle that Americans are bad and what they've done is bad and that they're responsible for a lot of the ills and destruction of the world.
It's like they're letting how other people view us, trying to make us how we view each other. I feel like that's exactly what's going on.
That's pretty astute. I think that's a good way of putting it. I think that if we look at ourselves as not being, you know, the light of the world, if you will. I mean, we're just people. But at the same time, the first time in the history of the world where a system was in place where they said all men are created equal. Now, I don't know how you can improve on that. How do you improve on all men are created equal? You know, right now what they're saying is some are more equal than others. You know, if you look at what's going on and all the racist stuff and the Black Lives Matter, well, what does Black Lives Matter say? What that's telling you is that Black Lives Matter, but if you said White Lives Matter, then all of a sudden you're a racist?
Well, essentially.
I feel like that is completely true. Like, when I, in class, like, a bunch of people were saying, oh, you're not representing Black Lives or anything. It's like, well, one, I can't physically represent them because I'm not them. I can't. I'm just being honest. And then, two, it's because we did do something bad, why do we keep dwelling on it? We already made up for it. We give them back money and stuff like that. I'm not going to lie. We were cruddy to them. We were. But why do we keep having to dwell on that if we already pretty much said, like, we suck, we're sorry?
Well,
can we
again,
get over it?
Let's talk about that a little bit. We weren't cruddy to them at all.
Well, our ancestors were, though.
Okay, but then if you get into the ancestors, our ancestors freed them. In other words,
their people put them into slavery
a lot of times in Africa, and I don't want to get into the racist thing. As much as I'm saying is you can't take one side of the equation without the other. You can't say, they were slaves and we had slave owners all, without saying that, yeah, but the other half of the country stood up and freed them. See, and so that's a one, you know, so if we go that, they were cruddy to the Irish. You know, we were cruddy to a lot of the Chinese. We were cruddy to, what it is man has enslaved man from the beginning of time. It doesn't matter what country you're from in the history of the world. All of them have been slaves at one point or another. I mean, the Irish were slaves to the English. Jews were slaves to the Egyptians. I mean, we could go on and on and on and on. The Chinese enslaved everybody of their own people.
And so did the Indians.
So how does that then justify saying that the only thing that matters in this country is what was done to a certain race of people during the 1800s.
It shouldn't be Black Lives Matter, because that is true, but it's not all the way true. It should be every lives matter, because it's not just one group that we should only, like, support anymore. We are a country that, like, is aware of other different ethnicities and cultures, and we should support all of them, not just one. We didn't just mistreat Black people. We mistreated everyone. Everyone mistreated each other.
Well, see, here's the thing. This is what I disagree on, okay? It said all men are created equal. Again, how do you improve on that? What they're saying is that all men aren't created equal.
Well, and it's one of my questions that I'm kind of curious about, too, is, you know, how do people your age view some of the things that are going on directly right now, such as, like, the Syrian refugees and illegal immigration and things like that? I'm kind of curious about how some of that I mean, do you guys not care? Does it not really affect you?
Do they talk about it in school? Do they have an opinion in school about it?
They don't really talk about it in school. When I was in, like, elementary school, we used to ask our teacher, who you're voting for president, and she told us you're not allowed to talk about that at school when you're a teacher. But they don't really talk about it at school, but what I've heard so far is, like, they're trying to bring in refugees, but I've also heard that there's, like, ISIS actually in there too, but I've also read on, like, of course, the internet, oftenly on that, instead of, like, taking in refugees, actually take care of, like, the homeless veterans that are out there, because there's so much more of those than the people they're trying to bring in.
I actually read something really interesting. Of course, it was on Facebook, but it was this video. It was actually, like, kind of a documentary. The guy decided to research on why ISIS hates us so much. And we actually created ISIS. I know that sounds weird, but we did. When we took out, oh, I forgot his name. He was the...
You're talking about Gaddafi?
Yeah, when we caught Saddam Hussein. There we go.
Oh, okay.
When we took him out. Sorry.
That's all right.
It reminded me of it, but when we took him out, I kind of forgot what happened, but, like, those people, like, started hating us because that was their leader. We created them without government. So, because when we took them out, there was no government anymore. So, people just started doing their own thing. And we created that. We literally did. And so, that's why people hate us, because we made ISIS, because there is no government, so they made their own group called ISIS. And then with those people, the anti-ISIS, I forgot what they're called, too. I'm sorry.
Well, there's the Kurds and
the Kurds.
Yeah, there's Syrian rebels.
There we go, the Syrian rebels. We gave them weaponry to help, you know, fight ISIS, because we were like, we kind of want to be hands-off on this, but we're going to give you weaponry. And those people were untrained, and they didn't know how to use our weaponry, but they had it anyway. So when they attacked, ISIS was more powerful. They knew what to do with weapons, so they pretty much took over. Now they have our weapons.
Where do you think ISIS got their weapons?
From us. They got it all from us. They got their tanks from us. They got everything.
So what you're saying is we're funding both sides of the war.
We are, which is, I don't really understand why. I don't want to get into government's conspiracy.
Well, that was my next question. Why do you think that our government would try to fund both sides of the war?
And I have no idea, but that, like, video completely, like, just, I was like, this makes no sense.
Well,
maybe there's something that I missed
because
I was in, like, adult then, but
that's okay. You're doing really well.
Yeah,
let me ask you a question. How do you know whatever you get from the TV or the internet is true?
That's kind of exactly what I was thinking. Like, this could all be fake.
Who would go on the internet and lie?
Let me ask you a question. Who would lie on the television?
That's kind of what I was going with, too. It's like the news, it's hard to trust the news and the internet at the same time. Like, yes.
Hard to trust any of it.
It's good to watch the news because you are informed, but you could literally be informed with lies. Like, I didn't know anything about how ISIS was created until that video. But now that video could be completely phony, and I just completely lied.
Well, you know,
sharing his lies.
It's tough. You're absolutely right. I heard the other day on Channel 7, whose, you know, motto is getting the facts right. They said that Harry Reid was the majority leader in the Senate, and he that's how he blocked the House from passing a bill. And I thought, wow! And they didn't correct it.
Well, now, that doesn't surprise me.
And so it's a simple mistake. I'm sure it was an error. I'm sure they didn't do it on purpose. But if I didn't know any better, and they said that Harry Reid was the House majority leader, I would assume that he was.
Yeah. I have a question for you guys. Does the rest of the kids that you're in school with, how do they get their information? Are they researching like you are on the internet and questioning the news and stuff like that?
It's mostly on Facebook.
Yeah, it's I've got adults on my Facebook, like my dad or my aunt.
We probably should disclose that.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Journey is my daughter.
Yeah.
So her opinion may be a little biased because of me. I try to allow her to have her own mind on some things, and then there's other things
Let me ask you a question. What do you think about diversity?
I feel like we could be more equal with everything, and I feel like we do kind of put, like, Muslims in a bad place. Like, yes, there are bad Muslims out there, but there also are bad Christians out there. But we only focus on the bad Muslims. We don't talk about the bad Christians. And
instead of just focusing on the bad, what about the good?
Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever heard of Christians killing people? You know,
yes.
Where?
I cannot think of the name, but there is a mass genocide of Christians. I actually watched a documentary movie on it.
Well, they were killing other people, the Christians.
No, they killed each other. It was a mass suicide. Sorry, I said genocide. I apologize. Oh, it was,
I'm just curious.
This I forgot what the guy's name was. You guys might know it. It
Jim
was
Jones?
Yes.
Yes.
That guy. He had a bunch of people go to his camp, a bunch. And he pretty much told them that the U.S. government or whoever was going to come and ruin everything and kill you guys. This is what's going on.
Well, see,
on
that's
the world.
Different.
And
that
so
was that wasn't a genocide. That was a suicide. What
but
they
Christians
did was
killed each other. And
no, no, they didn't. They killed themselves. I actually went to school with Congressman Ryan's daughter. That was Jim Ryan, and he went to Jonestown. And what happened there was
Leo Ryan.
I'm sorry, Leo Ryan. Thank you, Bob. Erin Ryan is actually Leo Ryan's daughter. Not the Erin Ryan that everybody knows up here, but another Erin Ryan. I went to school with her in 7th and 8th grade down in Burlingame. And what they did was they all committed suicide by drinking the Kool-Aid. That's the, where the term
yes.
comes from, drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yes.
And so Jim Jones had invited them all down there, and they didn't kill each other. They committed suicide, or they killed themselves. And at Jim Jones's behest, convincing everybody that the only way that they could solve all this problem was to kill themselves. So again, I'm not trying to correct you much as I'm trying to say that you've got to understand when they say the Muslims and the Christians that there is a huge difference between people who will go out and cut everybody else's heads off. And I'm thinking, what other Christian army, unless you go all the way back to the Middle Ages, okay?
Well, even if you're talking about the Crusades, which were hundreds of years ago, you're talking about essentially five Crusades that made up maybe 12 or 13 battles compared to the thousands of battles from the invasion
well, but
of
here's
Muslims.
The, but here's the point.
And then you can even get into the argument about, hey, that was the Catholics, I'm a Protestant.
But here's the point. The Muslims are saying, we're going to kill you because you're not a Muslim.
That's
we're,
true.
We're going to kill you because you don't believe what we do. We're going to kill you because you either convert or pay us homage or be our slave or we'll kill you. I can't think of one Christian movement where they actually killed other people because you wouldn't convert. Can anybody else think of it?
The Inquisition.
Oh. Yeah.
The witch trials.
That would be the Inquisition.
Now I'm not trying
but
to say
that was
different.
It was a little bit different.
Yeah.
It was, I mean. That was the insanity of the Catholic Church for like burning women because they could read. So if they were able to read, they must be a witch.
Well, and my point is on diversity is this. Diversity is fine. Okay, diversity is fine as long as, you know, it's the old golden rule. Do unto others. If you can't have diversity if one part of the faction of diversity wants to kill everybody else. That's not diversity. You can't have that. So when you say diversity, and that's why I asked the question in school, you know, freedom is what gives diversity. If you take freedom away, then you take away diversity as well. So if the people that are coming here are going to take our freedom away, either through a religious movement or by sinking the country in welfare and over government regulations and social justice and redistribution of the wealth, then the diversity isn't diversity anymore. It becomes a government takeover. Did they teach you that in school at all?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, interesting. I'm just kind of curious because diversity is a big, huge word. Well, we all got to be equal, and that's what I was getting from you. Well, we're not all equal. It said that God said we were all created equal, but that doesn't mean we're all equal. As far as the law should be applied equal, but that's like saying a marathon runner is good as somebody who weighs 300 pounds. They're not equal.
Yeah, I'm not keeping up with no marathon runner.
Anyway, so...
One of the questions that I had is, as you were pointing out, and, you know, they always state the claim there's moderate Islam, there's moderate Muslims, just like there's moderate Christians, things like that. Do you believe that moderate Muslims have a responsibility to do something about the radical factions of their religion instead of just sitting back and going, hey, that's not our problem. We're not doing it. Do you think that they have a responsibility to self-police?
I don't really know a lot about Muslims.
so I can't really answer that fully. I'm sorry.
Well, okay. Let's get back to what you guys talked to about in school to each other.
Oh, it's mostly Common Core and then, like, little facts that we know about the president's running and...
Well, let's talk about that. What do you guys think about the presidents? What do most of the students think about Barack Obama right now?
Most of them, they usually just vaguely say, I hate him, he's dumb, he's stupid. And that's like, no one really knows what he's doing. All I know is that he did Common Core, which ruined my grades last year.
Oh my God, right?
It butchered me. Yeah, no, I used to be an R. I had a B all year, and then my teacher finally enforced Common Core because we had substitute teacher teach us, and he was strictly Common Core. So because of him doing how Common Core should have been taught, I got an F, and I was a B all year
That's social justice. See, that's social diversity when they can take your grade and you worked hard to get and level the playing field so everybody gets a C. So
I wish I got a C. I have to retake it next year. I'd be completely okay with the C right now.
Honestly, for my English, it's like all Common Core, and I've got this really annoying book, and at the end of each unit I have to write it like an essay, but the topics, and I'm usually actually not that bad of a writer, not to like float my own boat, but yeah, and so writing these essays, and my facilitator
what's a facilitator?
Yeah, I was gonna ask.
Okay, so where I go to a charter school, so I'm like, I take two classes on the campus. The other classes, like my English and my history, are homeschool. So she's, like, kind of my homeschool teacher. She's someone I meet, like, every 3 weeks, and I give her my homework. She gives me new homework. And she told me, she's like, well, hopefully by the end of this year, you can actually pick up some writing skills from me. And
which is nonsensical, because all through school before, I mean, she has been nothing but complimented and rewarded on her writing skills and things by other teachers. But what it seems like to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, is it's because when she writes, she doesn't follow what they're trying to get out of her.
And that is completely true. One reason why I failed part of the test is because how it's set up is that you get a certain amount of points for just doing, like, the work. Like, if you did the equation or whatever this way, you get a certain amount of points, and the answer is only worth 2 points. Because I'm used to solving math, like how I grew up solving math, I failed the test. It was
trying to get the right answer.
Well, no, not even the right answer. I mean, yeah, I did get the wrong answer, but that would only got me 2 points out of like five or six or something.
No, but
the formula.
Are they teaching you how to get the right answer, or are they teaching you just the formula?
They're not the whole point of Common Core, from what I understand. There's two things that I learned about it. One, they want to save money on books, so they're not giving kids books. Two, it is, you're learning how to do it without an equation, because equations are pointless. It's, how did you get the answer? That's exactly what my teacher told me. It's how you got the answer, not how do you get it.
It doesn't matter.
And it doesn't matter if it's right.
The answer's only worth 2 points.
You sound like the teachers sound like the idiots that when I was taking my enrolled agents class, and we'll go to a break here in a second, Bob. When I was taking my enrolled agents courses to become a tax preparer, they would teach us a formula, and this formula was this big, long, complicated formula. And they would go through X, Y, Z to the third power, blah, 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 and here's the answer. Well, I'm sitting here with my buddy who's, a real, sharp guy. And we look at each other and we go, it's 10% every single time. So they started going through the formula, and we would have the answer before they would even get the formula written out on the paper. And they would go, how are you doing that? See, for them, the calculation was more important than the answer. In the real world, the answer is more important than the calculation.
That's exactly how it is at school. It's
proofs. Writing proofs in math is...
Those are pointless. Oh. It's pretty much, it's like you got a triangle or whatever, and you say, how is it equal to this triangle?
How is it congruent? Because it says that side is congruent to that side, and this angle is congruent to that side.
Yeah, definitely.
And then you have to write this sentence. You have to write, this side is congruent to this side. Then you have to say, that's given, because it's already on the paper. And then you have to go through all this thing. And then you just say, at the end, like, this triangle is congruent to this triangle by ASA, which is angle side angle.
We got to go to a break, and I didn't understand any of that. Go ahead, Bob. We'll come back and talk some more about that, because I had no idea what you were even talking about.
Yeah. You got to follow them. If you want to call in, have a question or comment for the girls that are in the studio today, give us a call at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
During the holiday season at Wellgate Sports Club, we want to give you the gift of health and fitness. Hi, I'm Rich Novelli, President and COO of Wellgate Sports Club. For a limited time, we are offering no dues until 2016. So call today at 768-1205 for your personal tour. At Wellgate Sports Club, you will experience exceptional every day. At Wellgate Sports Club, we wish all of you a happy and healthy holiday season.
If you're on Medicare, here's an important message from Owens Pharmacy. Now is the time to make changes in your drug plan. Next year, your current provider could raise rates on your drugs or on drug formularies, and then it will be too late to change. Find out what's best for you. Call the Medicare plan experts at Owens at 1-800-MY-OWENS. We are the pharmacy Medicare patients prefer. Your expert for Medicare D, Owens Pharmacy. Why would you go anywhere else?
This is Carl Bott. I'm sitting with Ted Ogilvie here, manager and head driller of Diamond Core Drilling. You know, Ted, with all this water shortage and the drought that's going on, people have a lot of questions about their water wells. What can Diamond Core Drilling do for these people?
I've seen a lot of people run out of water, and it takes a very long time to get a driller scheduled. What we'd like to do is see if we can pull a Department of Water Resources log that shows the construction details of the well. And then we also like to come out and do an actual site visit and inspect the well and see if there's anything that can be done with the well.
Now, this is a free consultation, right?
Yeah, absolutely, Carl. We don't charge anything for that. We've been providing water well services since 1980. We're veteran-owned, veteran-managed. You can reach us at area code 530-275-8162 or you can visit our website, diamondcoredrilling.net.
That's Diamond Core Drilling. They can help you with any of your water well needs.
This is Ted Ogilvie. We're here to help.
Alone when he stays through. Yes, I'll admit.
Are you an artist, artisan, craftsman, or purveyor of fine goods?
Come be a part of Red Town Market,
Redding's new holiday tradition.
You'll have the opportunity to showcase your work and goods to thousands in our community.
There'll be live music, wine tasting, local coffee roasters, and vendors just like you, creating an amazing retail experience to kick off the holiday season. That's November 28th at the Redding Civic Auditorium.
Apply online at reddingcivic.com
or call 229-0036.
Red Town Market is a juried event. Vendors are considered independent contractors and are solely responsible for federal, state, and local laws regarding permits, sales tax withholding, reporting, and all other legal requirements.
Red Town Market, your new holiday tradition.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Everything is awesome.
It's actually
Go ahead and let it roll just a little bit.
Great message. Pretty much everyone's being the same. Everything's all
the yeah, no, you're like yeah. me. Everybody's the same.
If you're like me, you'll be happy. And then I was like,
$47.
Is like, I don't want to do this. I'm gonna do my own thing. Okay.
That's.
I don't know what that's about.
Yeah, go ahead, Bob. That's enough. I like that. It's awesome to win and it's awesome to lose. So everything's the same. Everybody's the same. Everything's the same.
Oh, no. Losing drives me nuts.
Do you think that sounds like the message you're getting in school, guys?
Wait, are we on?
Yeah.
We're in the headlights. Deer in the headlights.
We got to go to a hard break right now. Then we're going to hold you guys over for about 15 minutes. So we got to get out of here for a couple minutes.
Yeah, they're going to cut us off.
Got to do the news.
Then we'll come back.
We were on this whole time?
So pretty much.
Wait a minute.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson tells NBC-TV's Meet the Press that officials have, quote, no specific credible intelligence about a potential Paris-type attack directed at the U.S. However,
your law enforcement, your national security, intelligence communities are continually on the job, continually evaluating and reevaluating our posture.
He says the coming holidays will mean even tighter security across the country. President Obama will host talks with French President François Hollande this week. White House correspondent Greg Clugston looks ahead.
Hollande is coming to Washington on Tuesday to meet with Mr. Obama here at the White House about ways to defeat Islamic State group militants and resolve the war in Syria. Over the past few days, the two leaders have spoken by phone about the Paris attacks and the threat posed by ISIS. Hollande will then travel to Moscow to hold a similar meeting on Thursday with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Greg Clugston, the White House.
Speaking of Russia, officials there say 11 militants pledged to ISIS have been killed today in a raid in the northern Caucasus region. Russia's counterterrorism agency says it raided the militants' hideout. An Islamic insurgency has long simmered in the predominantly Muslim North Caucasus. A deep freeze is settling in across the Midwest after 2 days of heavy snow. The National Weather Service forecasts temperatures of 20 degrees or lower across 6 states from North Dakota to Illinois. Temperatures dipped into the single digits and low double digits this morning in northern Illinois, including Chicago. A lawyer for jailed Washington Post journalist Jason Rezaian says she hasn't been informed, but the semi-official Iranian news agency is reporting today that Rezaian has been sentenced to an unspecified prison term for charges that include espionage. He was detained with his wife and two other photojournalists last year. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Two little tablets is all it takes to make your thin hair feel and look thicker and fuller. Guaranteed. Viviscal is the number one drug-free hair growth supplement in the U.S., with one box being sold every minute globally. It's clinically researched to promote existing hair growth for men and women. And now, a 90-day supply of Viviscal is offered in your area risk-free, plus free shipping. Call 800-881-6941. Viviscal nourishes thinning hair from within. You'll love your hair growth results, guaranteed. Viviscal is so effective, it's recommended by top doctors. Here's Dr. Grant Stevens, board-certified plastic surgeon.
I feel confident recommending Viviscal to women with hair loss, thinning hair, or even dry or brittle hair. It's 100% drug-free, and it's backed by years of clinical research.
Want to try Viviscal? Every listener that calls now gets a 90-day risk-free supply plus free shipping. Call now, 800-881-6941. 800-881-6941. That's 800-881-6941.
The police in Burundi say 4 people were killed overnight in violence in the capital of Bujumbura as sporadic gunfire and loud explosions continue to echo across the city. Bujumbura has been hit by violence since April when the president announced he would seek a third term in elections that he eventually won. The president's decision sparked violent street protests. Both opponents and supporters of him appear to be targeting each other now in revenge attacks. Israel's prime minister is accusing a German department store of a boycott after it removed products made in Israeli settlements under new European Union labeling guidelines. Benjamin Netanyahu noted today that Berlin's Katowice department store was once owned by Jews before the Nazis seized it. He says its decision to label products from Israeli communities and remove them from shelves is a boycott in, quote, every respect. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. The family of an Arkansas man left in an impaired state after an operation on the wrong side of his brain has been awarded $2 million by the state's Claims Commission.
The Arkansas Democrat-Gazette reports the commission found that doctors and administrators were negligent in the 2004 surgery. The patient, who was 15 at the time, underwent the operation at Arkansas Children's Hospital to reduce the number of seizures he was suffering. The $2 million award is equal to the amount the family paid out of pocket to a Virginia facility to help their son for 2 years after the surgery.
Correspondent Rich Thomason. Today is Sunday, November the 22nd. It is the 326th day of 2015. There are just 39 days left in the old year, which is fast passing away. On this date in history, a grim anniversary, 1963, President Kennedy was assassinated as his motorcade moved through Dallas. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
You have no clue, and do you tell us what to do? We don't know you, what you face.
I've done my sentence. But committed no crime and bad mistakes. I've made a few. I've had my share of bad kicks in my face, but I've come through. I need to go
back on the air. So Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. You've been listening to KCNR 1460. And we're here in the studio with Connie and Journey.
Yeah, you remembered her name.
Got it right.
I should probably, I wrote it. No, I didn't write it. So we've been talking about all kinds of stuff over the break here. And, you know, we got a move on with the show, and we got a few more minutes left. But Connie wants to be a mechanic.
That is true.
What type of mechanic?
I kind of want to do a little bit of everything. I want to, like, not make it so I'm just stuck working on, like, one type of vehicle or something. So if, like, I can't find a job in that, I'm just kind of stuck. I want to be able to, like, be diverse and do a bunch of stuff if I need to.
You know, that's funny. I started out wanting to be a mechanic. Changed my mind down the road. And I can actually tell you the exact time that I changed my mind. Because I was in the service, and I was a power diesel generation mechanic. And but I remember when I changed my mind about it, I was I became a tow truck driver, and the starter went out of my tow truck. And one night it was raining, and I was laying out in mud about halfway up to my face underneath a car, pulling a starter out.
So my question.
And
to
I said,
"Go ahead."
No.
My question now: in high school, do they teach you anything? I mean, do you have, when we went to school, we had woodworking and home ec, and we had
shop
and all that. Do they have anything in school that helps you in that?
I'm actually in home ec right now, but that's also homeschool. So I just do dishes and I write that down for home ec. But they give you like a list of things you can do. And so, like, one of them's all like volunteer at like a preschool for 10 hours. I'm just like, haha, yeah.
But they don't actually have a class. Like an alternative is what they called it when I was in high school, that that you went in and somebody actually teaches you how to cook or actually how to work on a car or how to do anything like that.
Yeah, no, we don't have that. We have like wood shop though, but it is like pretty much a strictly guy program. It's like if there are girls on it, they like they don't let any of the girls use the saw, the sander. Like we have pretty much guys use it for us. And I was thinking about taking that class until I heard that.
I could see you cutting your thumb off.
Well, not like that. I just like if I want to go take a class, I want to take a class. I don't want to have like a guy do it for me and be like, oh yeah, whatever. Here, hold my purse. Let me do my makeup. I want to do it.
That's smart. That's kind of what I was saying about the mechanics. Make sure that that's what you want to do before you do it.
Yeah, no, I definitely want to try it out a little bit before I start taking
classes. Because mechanics are great. Don't get me wrong. I like mechanics, but the way I like mechanics is I walk into a clean shop where you can eat off the floor and all the tools are clean.
Yeah, right.
Well, I mean, that's why I'm not going to say
that. I don't mind with the cleanliness factor. I'm just more like I'm a puzzle person. I love puzzles.
Yeah,
and I want to be able to be like, I have no idea what's wrong with your car. I want to go find out.
Oh, that's cool.
And I want to do that every day. I want to physically have a puzzle every day.
Oh, that's great. That's cool. I like that.
And that's one of the things that you know we're looking at is why are we not looking at the service industries more? Why are they tailoring all of these punch card drones to go sit in a cubicle when we need mechanics, engineers, welders, people like this in the trade services?
Yeah, and why at the same time are they not allowing her in woodworking to run the equipment?
Oh, because I'm a girl. I'm going to, you know, wreck something. I don't know, drop something, cut someone. You know, I'm a girl. I'm a crazy. That's how we are, right?
We have a caller on
the line. Gary is on the line. He has a question for you guys. Gary, good morning.
Gary, are you there?
Oh.
Hold on. Are you there, Gary?
Good morning, Gary. Do you have a question for the girls?
Yes. Good morning to the ladies, your guests. What year in school are they, juniors and seniors?
Junior and a sophomore.
Okay. All right. To the junior. This is American literature. You're supposed to be reading or will be reading. Have you read anything by Steinbeck yet?
Yes.
Like
R.L. Stein.
Rape the Wrath, etc.
Of Mice and Men.
Pardon?
Of Mice and Men.
I love that book.
That's a good book.
That's great. Have you read anything by Jack London?
No.
That would be in your sophomore year, maybe your freshman year.
Call of the Wild.
Call of the Wild.
White Fang. Yeah.
No, I did read Call of the Wild, but I haven't finished it. I was going to.
All right.
Was
so
that something
Call
that was
Wild.
Assigned, or did you just kind of pick that up yourself?
Okay. Did you do the vocabulary with it?
Teacher assigned it. Hmm. And vocabulary. I don't think so. It was an honors class, so we didn't do much vocabulary then.
It's kind of a boy book, though.
It was a good book.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay. Speaking of vocabulary, do your English teachers teach you vocabulary with vocabulary one connected with the subject that you're or the literature that you're reading in class and vocabulary outside of that just to expand your vocabulary? Are you receiving any of that?
Honors doesn't, but CP does.
Pardon again, I can't hear you, please.
Honors doesn't do that, but CP does, the college prep classes does, but the honors that are supposed to be college classes don't.
Why is that? They're supposed to know all of that?
We're supposed to look it up on our own. I think that's the expectation.
And I've no doubt, being kids, you do that, right? You look it up on your own?
I should say yes, but no.
I'm being facetious. You're talking to a retired English teacher. And I had honors classes with those books, and I would pretest them regarding the vocabulary. And this is with honors kids. And they knew at the very maximum a third of the vocabulary. Well, no, two-thirds. So they didn't know a third of the vocabulary that was presented in Jack London's Call of the Wild. This is an honors class.
I didn't have much trouble reading Call of the Wild because I usually, like, in the sentence, if I didn't understand a word, usually the sentence itself kind of gave me the definition of what it's supposed to mean, which really helped a lot. But I didn't really have vocabulary tests or, like, written down, like, these are the vocabulary words you should be expecting when reading this book. It was more just, like, independent learning. Like, I kind of figured out what this meant. It didn't really, like, affect the paragraph or the passage very much if I didn't understand it.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. Your English teacher teach that old-fashioned stuff, grammar, on what words to use?
Yes, we are learning it right now.
Something like Rob has trouble between IT apostrophe S and ITS. Rob, I had to get that in.
I knew it was coming sooner or later. I was waiting for it.
I have faith in the younger generation. I think they're going to blow over this. I think Common Core is going to implode at some point.
Yeah, I feel like Common Core is going to go away really quick because not a lot of kids are doing as well as they should be. I am an honors student, but I don't do well at all in honors. I need college prep now.
No, I really hope it does go away. I would like to do good in school again.
I miss reading history books. It sounds weird because I complained about it so bad, but I miss, you know, having a, like, history book in my hand and being like, oh, this is what this meant, or oh, that's where you're getting that from. It's more like, oh, what do I remember last page?
You got to be even careful which history books you get, because the revisionist history started quite a while ago. Even when I was a kid, they started revising things and changing things to you didn't see the original intent. I mean, we broke away from England, which was our government at the time, because of taxation and too much government and taking away our freedoms and our rights. I mean, that should be a big deal in school, and it's not.
Well, that's and even in some of the things like Journey has brought home from English that have thrown me for a loop is, you know, she's working on a book report, and I'm like, oh, English, you know, sophomore year, like Gary was saying, you should be getting, like, White Fang and things like that. What are you reading? Oh, an excerpt from Inconvenient Truth by Al Gore.
We get a lot of those, a lot of articles and a lot of stuff like that. It's not really books anymore. You don't really read books anymore.
Okay, let me butt in here because I have to go to the gun show and work our State of Jefferson table again. But regarding Common Core, there's a movement in the House of Representatives to eliminate it and reinstitute or reconfigure No Child Left Behind. Now, I don't want to get into that. I just want to tell you that there is that movement against Common Core. And a local movement, I've been connected with the Common Core and how bad it is. And you're not being taught. You're being programmed. And it's up to you. It sounds like being homeschooled, you will be fighting that programming. But the teachers that buy into it in the classroom are programmed as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they're buying into a socialistic aspect, or they would like this country to be socialistic. So I just want you to be aware of that. Now, that's not all teachers, but most of them, because they're doing the same thing they've been trained to do in the colleges. And that, which
I think that's our biggest problem, Gary, is the teachers are being trained in the colleges.
Yes. Yeah, now, I know that. That has been for years, and most of the teachers, the new ones, and I get this from the recruiters, the superintendents that are out there, et cetera, that I've talked to over the years, the candidates for teaching are not good. They don't want to put in the homework. And believe me, to be a good teacher, you have to put in the homework to not only impart knowledge, but to control the class and make them or encourage them, whatever you want to say, to learn and give them an atmosphere so they can learn. And most new teachers have no clue on any of that. And I wish you all a happy Thanksgiving, and thanks for a great show.
All right, thanks,
bye.
Gary. Yeah, now the saying is you go to Harvard and turn left.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Dad, you remember that when I was in, like, third grade, I had a teacher, and you were wondering why I wasn't getting my homework back?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that. And
I got in trouble.
That was in third grade, and about 2 weeks goes by, and my kid hasn't brought home any homework. Okay, I let the first week slide. I was like, okay, it's first week of school. Maybe she's getting them adapted and all these other things. And going through the second week, go, no homework, huh? Okay.
I'm telling you, homework. Don't, and you're like, uh-huh.
And I'm ready to kill my kid, because I know by the second week of school you got homework. So I finally contact her teacher to find out what homework she's missing. And this lady actually had the balls to tell me, oh, well, I don't have time to assign homework to kids because it takes too much time away for me to correct it at home after work.
Oh, I'm not surprised at that at all.
It floored me. And that was when it first kind of opened my eyes and I started looking at other options for school, because that's asinine.
You floored me because the fact that she thought she was supposed to have balls. Sorry.
Well, I'm not going to lie, though.
She grew a pair to tell me that.
I'm not going to lie. Like, when you're a kid, you always complain. Like, oh, I don't want to do homework. Homework's, you know, stupid. It has no point. And then when you're, like, older, you're like, wow, I, like, learned all this from homework. It helps me, like, practice and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you need that constant practice. And teachers don't like really assigning homework anymore, and it's kind of, like, sucks.
In the real world, grades don't matter. What matters is knowledge and education, and they are not the same thing, and people need to realize that knowledge should be the goal of schooling and education, not getting good grades and not getting a degree. And I and until you understand that and you become self-motivated to learn the things that you need to learn to be successful in life, it's not about the Common Core math. It's not about, you know, English. It's about, you know, having skills that are marketable and able to create or manufacture something in the real world that you can support yourself with.
Well, I can understand that, but in school they should be teaching them something, some kind
of basics.
Yeah, the pathway to get where they're going.
Basics.
Yeah.
Well, the basics and some skills and skill sets.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Instead of skill sets, it's all about grades.
The way that I kind of take a look at it is it's the responsibility of the schools to educate our children. You know, we've imparted that very important responsibility to our schools. We fund it
right.
Through our taxes.
Right.
We elect the people that have designed Common Core, you know, or appointed the people that have designed Common Core and made it. So we have a responsibility to make sure that those institutions are functioning
right.
Properly.
Correct.
Doing what they're supposed to.
And then when you take somebody like Connie or like Journey, who are hungry to learn, who want to be successful, and they cannot find that in the system that we've set up for it, I feel a little bit like those of us that have the skills and the ability need to take up the torch
the slack,
a little bit
yeah.
And reach out to some of the younger kids and
exactly.
Put them on the right
yeah.
Path.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is there anything that they do teach you in high school that you think prepares you, like, for mechanics?
For life.
For life in general?
For life.
Mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell. That's what I remember.
Well, I don't really have, so every job's different, so some of the stuff they are teaching can't be all directed to, like, my job, like, what I want to do, and I get that, and so, like,
well,
I get how...
Well, they teach you financing,
they should be teaching
or how...
problem solving.
Yeah.
Yeah, problem
anything
solving.
Anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Most, well, financing, we did take a class like that in freshman year, but it was... They didn't, like, say, oh, you're going to need this class for this. It was more like, hey, you're taking this class, it's mixed with sexual education and... Another
finance
thing.
And sexual education are
yeah,
mixed?
Yeah, it was how they did it was that they were kind of talking about that a little bit.
Was that
bit,
the University
gross.
Of Nevada or what?
Well, it was like it was three classes in 1 year, and like we just did like a bunch of things at the very end. We just had like a small little sex education thing where like, you know, you learned all the basics and stuff. And like it was just a bunch of different things, and I didn't really know what I was learning, and I was just kind of confused, and I was like, this makes no sense to me. I don't
right.
Get why I need to know this, so I'm not going to pay attention.
Well, I guess my school's different, because when I first met my principal, he asked me what I wanted to do when I was older, and he said, we actually like change your courses and stuff like that to form to what you want to do
right.
When you're older. So I told him I want to do marine biology, so I'm like in biology and doing all that kind of stuff, but like I still get the basics, like
English and history and that kind of stuff.
And that's I've liked the charter school system because they do have a little bit more flexibility for things like that. But, you know, again, they're lacking in the trades things.
I think that, you know, what I've seen is there's just too much focus on the grades as opposed to focusing on the
I feel like that is completely true. Like, it's not really set up, like, if you tried really hard, you can, like, it's obvious you tried, you just couldn't quite get it, then, you know. Like, that's how the homework is. The homework is just for trying. For all the other stuff, it's more like, did you get it right? Did you, like, fully understand? If not, then, like, you get penalized
for
it.
Well, here's what I've learned after I got out of school. Is not one president of a bank, not one lender, not one employer or potential employer, not one client ever asked me for my report card.
I actually learned that too at Wendy's. When I applied for, I was completely like ready to tell them like my grades and stuff like that. At the time, I actually had one F in English because I was behind in class and my teacher wasn't correcting some of my stuff, and it was just a bunch of stuff going on. And it wasn't me that was messing up because I didn't take a test. I didn't do anything to, like, have a bad score on it. It was all, like, I wasn't taking, like, enough tests that were given to me. Like, I didn't have enough tests given to me. And it was just a bunch of stuff that wasn't my fault. But I was completely prepared to tell them, like, I have an F in this class. And
I need to give them my class on balance sheets and profit and loss.
Yeah.
Well, that's where I was going with that.
Teach the kids how to balance a checkbook, either assets and just basic
financial.
Yeah, that's what
But Connie brings up another good point that's almost gotten like kid killed on several occasions. Is like she'll come home with
walking on the
blended glide path.
That's what school is.
Yeah. Oh God, yeah.
Because before they explained it to me, she came home with her first couple of progress reports, and it's like D's and F's and stuff. And I'm going, what
it scares you?
Yeah, what is going on? So I get a hold of the teacher. She hasn't done enough homework or tests or quizzes or anything yet to accumulate the score for a higher grade.
And
they
weren't even
given to you. What has she missed? You know, what tests?
Right.
Oh, no, they haven't been issued yet.
Yeah, I got the same thing.
And it's like, do you know how close you came to having a student missing from school because of this?
No, going to Parsons, and I came home with a... one of the progress reports one time, and it was an F. He's like, what do you mean you have an F? I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, I think that if they focused on thinking for yourself, how to solve problems, things like that, financial education, because that's what you need out in the real world, it'd be a lot better. But we are running out of time, so we're going to have to thank these young ladies for coming in.
And
we
if
really
you know any
it.
Other kids that want to come in and talk about what's going on in school, let us know.
We could have open mic Sunday.
Yeah.
Bring more mics. Yay.
Yeah, all right. We appreciate you coming in, and you did a good job.
And that's one of the things that we've been kind of kicking around and discussing is starting, you know, kind of a peer mentoring program
where some
of us could outreach where, you know, like you could take 6 or 8 students and, you know, Mark can teach you guys a balance sheet and a checkbook and things like that. And, you know, those of us that have different skills could take and help you guys really get ahead in life.
I have one quick question before we let you go. Do they allow you guys to debate in school?
That's if you take, like, a debate class.
Well, there is no debate class at my school. They don't let us, like, they don't really want us to have, like, deep conversation debate because they feel like we're immature, we're going to start fighting or yelling or saying you're stupid or all that stuff when, like, a debate happens.
Well, that's ridiculous, though, because there should be rules to a debate. You don't,
right.
You know, you can express your opposing viewpoints.
I'm 17. I haven't in a long time said, oh, you're dumb, you're wrong, you don't know what you're talking about. I haven't said that.
I kind of see what you're saying,
but I kind of feel like this. That's how it is with debate. But they don't understand that. We're babies to them.
Yeah, there's like 3 national debate societies where there's the rules and you learn fallacies of arguments and how to.
And express your opinion on a certain subject, you're entitled to that.
But you see, if they model the debates after the Republican and the Democrat debates, debates these days, then that's how you do handle the debate. You just call your opponent a dummy and move on. They don't have to have any substance.
There's only one thing I know that I'm debating this year, and that's in my biology class, and that's creationism versus the theory of evolution.
Mm-hmm. And are they going to allow you to do that?
Yeah, our biology teacher is actually having, it's like at the end of the year, but she's actually having us like...
Who's the moderator?
Probably the teacher.
Is she a Christian or is she an atheist?
She was telling us she often gets called an atheist because she's a scientist, but we haven't really talked about it quite yet, but she's told us that, at the end of the year, we're going to have, like, this discussion. She's like, usually every year I'm pretty proud of my students because they don't call each other names.
We should get the Shasta Lantern in there and maybe
You'll have to give us an update on that, yeah. So we know exactly how they allowed you to debate, yeah. And to what degree, and
yeah.
How they moderated.
I like
that.
You know, if the moderator shuts down any adverse
exactly.
Thought.
Exactly. So again, anyway, thank you, girls, for coming
we're out
in.
Of time.
We're
out of time.
We appreciate it.
No problem. I had fun.
All right, very good.
And we'll see you guys at a different time and. See what we can come up with.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very
awesome.
Nice. All right. Yeah. So let's go to a break, and then we've got our other guest in the studio, Alex Landy, I believe, just showed up.
I believe so.
And so we'll come back, and we'll get together with him, and we'll move into the next segment of the show.
If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
The only restaurant where you can enjoy your favorite cuisine on the river. Now with our new menu additions including classics like sweet potato fries, U202 burger, fish and chips, and the old hatch cover favorite Mai Mai Almondine. Also new, 6 unique flatbread pizzas with toppings from beer braised chicken, spicy Italian sausage, to seared wild mushrooms. Try their smoked steelhead Benedict or the Cali Benedict with avocado and roasted tomato. And on Sunday, enjoy Linda Bott and her jazz ensemble along with bottomless mimosas and half-off bottles of wine all day. Happy Hour is every Monday through Thursday with drink and appetizer discounts. Friday nights are rocking with live music from 6 to 9. View 202 serves only the freshest local ingredients. Executive Chef Dustin, along with his staff, are passionate about their guests having an exceptional culinary experience. View 202, 226-8439. That's 226-8439.
Are you an artist, artisan, craftsman, or purveyor of fine goods?
Come be a part of Red Town Market.
Reading's new holiday tradition.
You'll have the opportunity to showcase your work and goods to thousands in our community.
There'll be live music, wine tasting, local coffee roasters, and vendors just like you, creating an amazing retail experience to kick off the holiday season. That's November 28th at the Reading Civic Auditorium.
Apply online at readingcivic.com
or call 229-0036.
Red Town Market is a juried event. Vendors are considered independent contractors and are solely responsible for federal, state, and local laws regarding permits, sales tax withholding, reporting, and all other legal requirements.
Red Town Market, your new holiday tradition.
During the holiday season at Wellgate Sports Club, we want to give you the gift of health and fitness. Hi, I'm Rich Novelli, President and COO of Wellgate Sports Club. For a limited time, we are offering no dues until 2016. So call today at 768-1205 for your personal tour. At Wellgate Sports Club, you will experience exceptional every day. At Wellgate Sports Club, we wish all of you a happy and healthy holiday season.
If you're on Medicare, here's an important message from Owens Pharmacy. Now is the time to make changes in your drug plan. Next year, your current provider could raise rates on your drugs or on drug formularies, and then it will be too late to change. Find out what's best for you. Call the Medicare plan experts at Owens at 1-800-MY-OWENS. We are the pharmacy Medicare patients prefer. Your expert for Medicare D, Owens Pharmacy. Why would you go anywhere else?
Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our local community for making 2015 our best year yet. Your continued patronage supports 20 local jobs, and when you shop at Mighty Fine, your money stays in your community the way it should be. Daily deli specials under $5, a different hot soup served daily, groceries, meat, produce, and over 1,000 cold drinks. Mighty Fine Foods is your locally owned and operated neighborhood grocer. Mighty Fine, $2.99 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
KCNR 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
KCA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill that we have to pay? It's not our bill. We had no say. You don't serve us. You serve L.A. The time has come for 51 in the Jefferson State of Mind. You don't know us. You have no clue. Do you tell us what to do? We don't know you or what you face. It's time to start a brand new state. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind. In Jefferson State of Mind, carved from lessons we all learn through time. To my new state, I will always be true. She will shine in the red, white, and blue. It's really better off this way. The welfare you won't have to pay. You keep your royal pedigree. All we're asking is set us free. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind. In the end, it's very clear, anything that we hold dear will never see the light of day with California run this way. The time has come for 51. The time has come for 51. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind. In a Jefferson State of Mind, I'm in my Jefferson State of Mind.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire. That's Mike Smith there, and that's good stuff, Jefferson State of Mind. And, yeah, it is time for 51.
It's coming, whether they like it or not. Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Exactly. Whether they like it or not, it's on the way. So,
which is a good thing.
Anyway, we've got our special guest with us right now. Alex Lanny came in. You live in Mount Shasta, don't you, Alex?
I used to for a long time, okay. But I've been down in Redding for about a year and a half now.
Okay, because I remember seeing some stuff you wrote in the paper a little while ago about Mount Shasta. We're going to be talking about immigration to start with and anything else that you would like. Maybe you can give us a little background on your education and so forth. And What do we got? We got something else playing.
Yeah,
here.
I don't know where it's coming from.
It might be. I know where it's coming from.
It's coming from your computer.
It's coming from my computer. I hate it when that happens.
Yeah, so if you could give us a little bit of background on you.
Well, thank you. I'm not a young man. I'm in my 60s. I was born and raised in Southern California. Lived in Orange County for a long time, and then in the greater Los Angeles area. I got my degree in journalism at Cal State Fullerton. I served in the Marines way back when. I've worked in business, taught high school, and worked in law enforcement as a community service officer, code enforcement officer. And now I'm safely retired. But living in Southern California, I began to notice a long time ago the encroaching problem of illegal immigration. It was manifested first down there.
Right.
Wow.
First of all, I want to say thank you for your service.
Oh, thank you. Like all Marines, I'll tell you, I didn't do anything. Except in my case, I didn't. I never went into combat.
That doesn't mean that you didn't serve your country.
Yeah, I was a helicopter crew chief. The most dangerous thing I did was fly helicopters that I had fixed.
Well, I can see the danger.
They never gave me a medal for that.
Anyway, let's talk about immigration a little bit here. And, you know, I'm looking at a headline here where the GOP candidate to double fund for Syrian refugees. What's your take on the Syrian refugee situation? What do you think? We should let them in? You know, if we don't let them in, are we bad people? You know, what do you think?
No, the situation with the Syrians is different from the general situation of illegal immigration. Most illegals are not a cosmic threat. The damage they do to the country is just due to sheer numbers in the job market, the environment, neighborhoods, budgets, things like that. But in the Syrian refugees, there are going to be some jihadists, and there are going to be others who may be vetted to some degree or another who will eventually get on their computers and go to the jihadist websites, and one by one, you'll see some of them become jihadists. So my view on this is, and I really hate to say this, I really do, I want people to understand that, that given the current situation in the world of Islam, I think wherever Muslims go, trouble follows.
I agree with that.
I think that just is.
Right.
And that's really their fault. Not all of them. Most of them are okay. And even at this point, I don't hate Islam, I don't hate Muslims. I'm not real big on group identity. I tend to focus on the behavior of individuals.
Sure.
But these radicals have trashed the reputation of the entire religion. They've made Muslims probably the most hated people in the world. And I don't think it's a good idea to bring in the Muslim refugees here. There's a very large Arab world, much of which is screwed up, of course. But that's probably their best place. And then as soon as the situation settles down and Syria, which it will eventually, I don't know when, but then these people should go back and rebuild their country.
They don't want to assimilate. See, that's the other side of this. Mm-hmm. You know, coming to America is about becoming an American, not bringing your culture here.
Correct. Yeah.
In my opinion, their cultures are screwed up. I mean, the Sharia law, how they live, the way, you know, that's fine. They can stay in their world. But if you're going to come to America, you know, I don't want to let anybody in that doesn't want to be an American.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you're dealing with raw numbers anyway. Now, I make a clear distinction between legal and illegal immigration. That's
sure.
where I draw my red line. And legals are people who are vetted, they're patient, they jump through our hoops, and most of them do become new Americans.
Right.
But 50 years ago, in my freshman year in college, I took a conservation class, and all the environmental groups came out and said, we're at 200 million people now. That's already too much from our environment. You baby boomers are a huge generation. We want you to consider having only two children per family. We must stabilize our population. And for a long time, they all said the same thing. The biggest threat to our country is overpopulation. And legal immigration is certainly involved in that aspect of our immigration policy. But the illegals, Islam itself is simply not compatible with Western democracy.
That's my point. Really,
that's the key. Yeah. And they do want to just duplicate their culture here. They want Sharia law. Mm-hmm. That is simply unacceptable.
That's exactly right. And you know, and I don't, and it's not even something you can really confuse, but I, you know, I'm looking at a, you know, an article here where Lindsey Graham, you know, he's running for president, wants to double the funding for these refugees. You know, there's no real vetting process. So there's no records to go look into these guys. If they want to be Muslims and come here and be Americans, and I'm not sure that, like you said, that's compatible at all. I mean, because we're founded on a Christian faith, whether people, you know, the tenets and the values of Christianity, you know, I think those are in direct conflict with Muslim.
Well, I believe you're absolutely right. See, the thing is, we are what we are, and there's nothing for us to apologize for. We have been taught for decades by the left and by some losers on the right that if we stand up for ourselves, we're doing something wrong. Yep. And that's what dug this hole for us. And I want our politicians like Lindsey Graham and Kasich and Huckabee and the others. Oh, you should see the letters I write these people.
Right, good.
To their campaign people, their upper management. You are being vetted right now. And not one of you who is soft on illegal immigration is going to be president.
So who do you like?
I'm sticking with Trump for one reason. And like all of Trump's supporters, I am aware of his glaring faults.
Sure.
Okay, I'm not a blind supporter of him. But he seems to have the fire in the belly. He has the guts. He's the one that's calling a spade, and I believe he is the one who will follow through. Now, he's a billionaire. He doesn't need any of these headaches. But I'm guessing his dad taught him somewhere along the line that if you want something done right, you have to do it yourself. And I think he's been waiting for leadership to bail this country out, and he just doesn't see it. And he finally said, well, I'm going to give it a shot.
Well, he is ex-military. Most people don't know that. He went to military school. So, yeah, it's interesting. But I agree with you. I don't like everything about. I don't think there's. We should have blind allegiance to anybody. At the, you know,
no,
just to say that.
Never.
I mean, you know, never. But I agree with you. Trump is the guy who's going after the illegal immigration thing. And you know something, we have to stop this if we're not, or we're not going to have a country and all this thing. These things called freedom are not. There's,
and
you know,
liberty.
We're going to have liberty. You know, there's going to be diversity of everything but freedom. There's going to be diversity of everything but liberty, and that's the problem. Is that these guys don't want to assimilate into a culture that reveres freedom and liberty above all else, and not government taking care of everything. I mean, you look at the Muslim cultures; they don't believe in freedom. They believe in, you know, a group of, you know, men running the show at an oligarchy level that, or even one. Like you look in Iran, you know, that tells everybody what to do. It's like the Pope running the show. You know, I mean, that's not a good idea. If the Pope was the president and he implemented his basic philosophy on everybody here, I'm pretty sure that there would be a problem.
You know, most Americans are not experts in the Constitution, but they, generally speaking, do have a pretty good feel for what's right and what's wrong.
Right.
And they may be late to the party because they're wrapped up in their lives. And a lot of them really don't pay attention, which is very sad. Activists tend to feel like, well, I've got to do the work of 100 people that don't pay attention. And I'm sure you've had similar thoughts.
Yeah.
You got to wake people up. The people have more power than Washington does by a factor of 10, but they rarely unite long enough to use their power. But I see something like that happening now, and I believe we may be approaching the end of the culture war with the defeat of the left. I trade letters with lots of columnists, well-known people, people that whose names you would know, and they're really beginning to get a sense of defeat because they're admitting things now that they wouldn't before.
Well, what's happened in the last 50 years is the government on both sides of the aisle has promoted the splitting of the people and the division and the dividing and conquered strategy. Because in military, there's two things you want to do. You either want to unite people or you want to divide them so you can conquer them. I mean, if they're the enemy, you're trying to divide them. If they're your allies, you're trying to unite. Well, they have, through their culture wars, their diversity, their social justice, you know, drugs, you name it. They have tried at every aspect to divide the American people so that they don't get together on the big issues, which is freedom, sovereignty, and liberty. But I think you're right. The boat, the ship is turning around.
Well, it's becoming very evident what they're doing on both sides to most of the American people. That's what their intention is, to keep us at war.
The blacks against the whites, the gay against the straight. So we never get together and realize the bigger problem, the bigger evil is the government getting out of control.
Yeah. Like he said earlier, Alex said earlier, so that we never stay on the same page for any length of time.
Well, part of the problem is is just the nature of power itself. People are there too long. It's an entitlement. They like being important. And they tend to start doing things for their benefit, and the people become an afterthought. You look at the Democrats, they want to amnesty millions of trespassers, and that's what I call illegals, because that's what they are.
Yep.
Because their liberal product is not selling well anymore. The only way they can get new customers is to amnesty millions of trespassers.
Right.
Now, they're betraying this country. I believe that's treason.
I agree.
They're betraying this country in a heartbeat, just trying to save themselves. And then when you look at the Republicans, a lot of them are saying, well, let's not rock the boat. We need the Hispanic vote. They're betraying us, too. But their betrayal is really based on cowardice.
Right.
And you do have to wonder who is actually running the store. And it's going to have to be us.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's what's happening. But I think we've got treason in the White House, and I don't say that lightly. Aiding and abetting. You know, the day of the Paris attacks, he releases, what, six more prisoners from Gitmo?
Yeah.
Six more terrorists. He has funded both sides of the equation. You know, he's brought arms into the Syrian rebels as well as
ISIS.
Absolutely. But, excuse me, nobody has stood up. But let me ask you this. What do you think about Ted Cruz?
I like Ted Cruz for several reasons.
Excuse me.
There are actually guys that I probably wouldn't vote for president, but that I like because of their spirit, like Ron Paul. He's a fighter.
Yep.
I definitely think he's too weak on foreign policy. But he does worry about the Federal Reserve. He worries about the Constitution. And he has guts. There are admirable traits. There are several governors that were successful governors, but they all seem to be pro-amnesty. Now, to me, job one of the federal government is to provide for the common defense and protect the homeland. And if you can't send illegal immigrants home, you're saying right up front, I won't do job one. Well, you are unfit to be commander-in-chief, and if you look at the polls, the people have reached that conclusion.
Well, I think that the reason that, you know, I don't want to go into Ron Paul's foreign policy, but I'll tell you what. Anybody, and at the last debate, I don't know about the last one, the one before that, the only ones that brought up about the Federal Reserve and the money were Ted Cruz and Rand Paul. And I think that is significant. Anybody who talks about the moneyed interest, which are really controlling our government and Wall Street at this point, because they want perpetual wars. They're funding both sides of the wars. It's the old divide and conquer. And in the meantime, you know, look at our deficit. It's getting deeper and deeper. By the time Obama gets out of office, we're going to be $20 trillion in debt. That is the bigger national security interest than any of this foreign crap, if you ask me, in my opinion. And they won't talk about it. That's why I don't like O'Reilly. Has he ever had a real discussion about the deficit or the debt spending? No. They gloss it over like it's not really that big of a problem. We could just keep printing money. Well, we're going to run into a major economic upheaval across the board here. We're in it now. I mean, you can see it coming. It's like, it's like we're in a cat five, we're on the edge of a cat five hurricane, and we're worried about everything but the biggest problems. They're worried about, you know, global warming and all this other crap. So that's why I like Ted Cruz. I like more and more Rand Paul as he goes along. I don't think he's his father, but.
No. I want to apologize for saying Ron Paul instead of Rand Paul. I meant Rand Paul.
Ron Paul is actually a hero.
Just like in the beginning when Obama came in, everybody was calling him Osama.
And I think we got to be careful when we say talking about the foreign, you know, his foreign stance on foreign policy. I think that has been slanted the viewpoint by the right to make it seem like his foreign policy is not good. Because the reason I say that is because when you talk about the Federal Reserve, they do whatever they can to marginalize you in whatever area possible, so that you divert from the real problem.
Well, see, that's one of the things that I kind of agree with Alex on, that he's a little weak on his foreign policy, and that's one of the places that I usually divide with the Libertarian Party, is I'm pretty libertarian myself until I get to the idea of we don't do anything until it comes and winds up on our doorstep. I don't believe that. Once you know there's a problem, you strike with immediate and deliberate violence to eliminate it.
I think that Ron Paul believes, or Rand Paul, I'm sorry, I think he believes, we're both doing
I'm a bad influence on you.
They both believe in a strong defense. That gets watered down with this perpetual war action. They've both said, Ron Paul and Rand Paul, is if you're going to fight a war, fight it. See, that's their big thing, is we don't go in and fight wars. The rules of engagement right now by Obama are so screwed up. You talk to any serviceman who's been in combat, they don't even let us fight. It's ridiculous. We have to get fired upon. Well, if you're going to fight a war, get in there and annihilate the enemy. Mm-hmm. And I think that is where the foreign policy divides with Ron Paul and Rand Paul from the rest of the crew, is that the rest of the crew don't speak that language. They try to say it's, oh, we don't want to have, you know, they want complete free trade, but they don't want to be interventioning in everybody else's disputes. Do we got to go to a break, Bob? So we better go to a break, okay, and then we'll come back on some more of this stuff. This is good stuff.
Yeah, great. If you want to call in with a question or comment for our guests, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460, Community Radio for the North States.
Hello, this is the IIAP, the Illegal Immigration Assistance Program, a taxpayer-funded division of OATNUT. For Spanish, press 1, Portuguese 2, Arabic 3, Farsi 4, French 5, Swahili 6, German 7, Italian 8, and if you insist on English, please stand by.
If you're thinking about illegal immigration, be careful when you're choosing the nation, because breaking the law in some countries is frowned upon. Imagine that. Sneak into China, they'll call you a spy and ship you to Mongolia till you die. And in the Sudan, they'll hang you and the camel you rode in on. Yeah, and don't go hiking and enter Iran, or you might never be heard from again. And in Mexico, you might face a firing squad. Yeah, forget all about going to North Korea. That's a great example of a bad idea. So when it comes down to it, there's only one option you got. Yeah, come to the USA. There's no penalty to pay should you get caught illegally immigrating. Come to the USA. It will be your lucky day. Cause when you get in, there's lots of goodies waiting. Like healthcare, welfare, free education, help with your voter registration and driver's license and credit cards and license plates for your car. Lots of jobs for you to do and employers who'll turn a blind eye to. Come to the USA. No need to worry about the Constitution. We'll help you start a house of prostitution if that's the kind of work that you want to do. You see, those gringo infidels are crazy. They'll give citizenship to your new baby. So you see, there's really only one choice for you. Come to the USA. There's no penalty to pay should you get caught illegally immigrating. I said, come to the USA. It will be your lucky day. Come when you get in, there's lots of goodies waiting. Yeah, you get public housing and cable TV and food stamps and even government cheese. The borders are a swinging door. Go home for a visit and come back for more. There's sanctuary and amnesty. Bring the whole family eventually. Yeah, come to the USA.
This has been a public service message sponsored by OATNUT, dedicated to the collapse of the American way of life. Yeah.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Well, Turkey Day is just around the corner, and winter's here. We are busy filling kerosene tanks, so give us a call and we'll get you taken care of. Kathy says there's a lot of folks who are using the Pay Forward account. If you aren't sure what that is, give us a call and we'll explain it. For all the woodcutters, we are now the Opti two-cycle oil dealer, so come on by and check it out. Johnny and Gary are installing new heaters and helping customers get ready for winter. Sherry and Candace tell me we have two or three used reconditioned heaters, so give them a call. Northern Lights Energy, keeping families warm and tanks full. In Corning, give Robin a call. In Weaverville, talk to Joe. And in Redding, the rest of us. 241-2196. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down?
What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate.
Brought to you by Trinity Pest Control, Giles Insurance, and Summit Funding.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Making a living the old hard way. Taking and giving my day by day. I did snow and rain and bright sunshine.
Taking the land.
We'll be back. We got to go to a hard break in the top of the hour here. We got all excited and talked too much, and so
and we'll talk some more on the other side of the break.
Yeah, we're here with Alex Landy, and this is KCNR 1460
talking about immigration.
Loving the free and feeling spirit. Plug in a tree when you get near it. Digging the snow and the rain and a bright sunshine.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Belgium's prime minister says the terror alert remains at its highest level for a sustained, quote, serious imminent threat against the capital. He says authorities are concerned about the potential for a Paris-like attack, perhaps at several locations in Brussels. Schools on the subway system there will be closed tomorrow. Bad news for an American being held in Iran, correspondent Adam Schreck reports.
Today, Iran's judiciary spokesman announced that Washington Post journalist Jason Rezaian has been given an unspecified prison term. Rezaian was convicted last month on charges that include espionage, but today's announcement was the first time we've learned that he has received some sort of prison term.
Rezaian was detained with his wife and two photojournalists in July of last year. All were later released except Rezaian. A big snowstorm has pulled out of the Midwest. Now comes the cold.
It will be unseasonably cold for the next 2 days through parts of the Midwest and the Ohio River Valley. We'll see temperatures between 10 and 20 degrees below average for Sunday and Monday before we start getting a warming trend on Tuesday.
Bruce Terry of the National Weather Service, that chill will soon move into the Mid-Atlantic. He signed a pledge not to do it, but Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump says he might consider running as an independent candidate for president in 2016. He tells ABC TV's This Week program it all depends if the Republican Party treats him fairly. Trump and other GOP candidates have signed pledges saying they promise to forego independent campaigns and support the eventual GOP nominee. Republican David Vitter will not be campaigning next year, will not run again for his U.S. Senate seat, after losing the election for Louisiana governor last night to Democrat John Bel Edwards in an upset. Vitter made his announcement during an appearance to campaign supporters in New Orleans last night after it became apparent he could not win. More on these stories at townhall.com.
For all of you
who love to give thoughtful holiday cards that are a true reflection of you.
For all of you who love the holiday cards you send to make it to the mantles and refrigerators of your loved ones.
For all of you who are inspired to create your own holiday cards and just need the simple tools to bring your holiday vision to life.
For all of you, there's Vistaprint.com. At Vistaprint.com, making your own unique holiday cards is simple and easy. There are hundreds of designs to choose from. You can include your own message, even upload your own photos from Facebook. And right now, they're 50% off. Plus, right now, you can also get up to 50% off one-of-a-kind gifts, like personalized mugs, calendars, canvas prints, and more. And because it's Vistaprint, your satisfaction is absolutely guaranteed. But hurry, this holiday offer ends soon. To get 50% off all quantities, styles, sizes, and stocks of personalized holiday cards, and up to 50% off personalized holiday gifts, go to Vistaprint.com and enter code CARD50 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, code CARD50.
Syria's president says his forces are advancing on almost all fronts thanks to Russian airstrikes that began nearly 2 months ago. Bashar Assad told China's Phoenix television today that the Russians depend on Syrian ground forces and, quote, cooperate with us. Russia, which has conducted an air campaign in Syria since September 30th, sharply raised its intensity in recent days on President Vladimir Putin's orders after Moscow said it had confirmed that a bomb brought down a Russian plane over Egypt's Sinai Peninsula, killing all 224 people on board. Albanian authorities say heavy rainfall has killed one person and flooded many areas and blocked national roads this weekend, cutting power and water supplies in several places. The head of the emergency agency says a 27-year-old man working in a hydro power station died when he was carried away by the river. Rainfall has caused more problems in four districts in central and northern Albania. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. The Tennessee Valley Authority is rethinking the way it treats solar power.
TVA officials say they aren't abandoning solar, but they are dropping a lot of the incentives. Staff recently presented plans to a TVA stakeholders group that included capping solar incentive programs at just 20 megawatts in 2016. That's down from over 130 megawatts this year. Chief Financial Officer John Thomas says solar can now compete with other sources of electricity on the open market, so it no longer needs special incentives. Supporters of solar, speaking before a TVA board meeting in Bowling Green on Friday, said the utility is only looking at cost and not the environmental benefits to the people of the Tennessee Valley. Keith Peters reporting.
Today is Sunday, November 22nd, and it's a birthday for a number of notable people, including actor Robert Vaughn, who's 83 years old. Tennis Hall of Famer Billie Jean King turns 72 today. Retired All-Star baseball player Greg Luzinski, 65. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Who doesn't love Dickens' classic story, A Christmas Carol? Christmas isn't the same without its fascinating tale of spirits, adventure, greed, and, of course, Ebenezer Scrooge.
Join us this holiday season for the Reading Civic Repertory's magical debut of Christmas Carol, A Love Story.
Fabiano Altamura's new adaptation will have it all, from gorgeous sets to spooky spirits and music that will have you dancing the humbug.
Will Ebenezer Scrooge get what he deserves, or will the miser choose a different path? Come and find out on December 19th and 20th at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Get tickets at the Reading Civic Auditorium's box office. Call 229-0022 or at readingcivic.com.
Brought to you by Meeks Lumber, Zimmer Construction, Hudson Entertainment, and Hilltop Medical Clinic. Don't miss this Christmas spectacular. Christmas Carol, A Love Story. December 19th and 20th, 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. at the Reading Civic Auditorium.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We're fed up.
We're in the final hour of Sovereign Mind Radio. This is KCNR 1460, community radio for the North State, home of the Free Fire Media. And we're talking with Alex Landy about immigration. We're going to talk more and more about this, but I'm going to read this. The first consideration in immigration is the welfare of the receiving nation. In a new government based on principles unfamiliar to the rest of the world and resting on the sentiments of people themselves, the influx of a large number of new immigrants unaccustomed to the government of a free society could be detrimental to that society. Immigration, therefore, must be approached carefully and cautiously. Thomas Jefferson.
See, he's the man, because he understood. But our founding fathers, by and large, were a pretty brilliant group, mainly because they operated on common sense, and they didn't want to duplicate the disasters of Europe. And I've been writing for a very, very long time that the immigration policies of any nation should be set up for the benefit of the host nation, not the immigrants. The legal immigrants get the great benefit of being allowed to live here. The legal immigrants are no consideration at all. They should be booted out, and I know how to do that.
Well, we had Bill Whittle on last week, and he said that would solve the problem is everybody read the Constitution and take it literally and actually start following it, you know, as it is intended and how it actually, is written, not how it's been twisted and manipulated and everything else.
Well, it's pretty clear what it means.
I know.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't get it.
Well, let's talk about, you said you had some theory. Do you have a,
well, before we get there, we were talking during the break, and you were saying that a lot of people don't realize there was a time in our country's history that we didn't accept.
That's correct.
Immigrants.
Now, remember, for a long time, we were a great big empty nation, and mostly it was simple labor.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't need a lot of scholars to farm and ranch America to colonize it. Mm-hmm. And then as we got into the 20th century, we had the great immigrations from Europe, the Italian. My grandparents came in 1910. But we got to the point where we no longer needed large numbers of unskilled, uneducated people. We had become an industrial powerhouse. And we were taking in so many people that they were just colonizing their parts of the country. And you get too many people who are doing that. They're not assimilating because they don't have to. So we had moratoriums, and we had problems with anarchists in the 1920s. There were lots of problems. And we decided it would be in our interest, which is what we did in those days, to have a moratorium and not allow large numbers in for a very long time.
Well, that's when you started running into guys like Eugene Debs and his Eastern European socialists and things like that, too.
Right. There was a time of tumult and actually violence, but the instincts of the country were then, let's pull in our horns, let's turn these people into Americans and not keep piling the burdens on ourselves. We have lost that wisdom.
Yeah, I agree. But we're getting it back because people are starting to realize that the Constitution is a very dynamic document, and it has been the source of our prosperity, among other things, you know, Christian tenets, beliefs, and so forth that it was basically based on. And that's been the source of our prosperity and freedom. And so we are starting to see the slow erosion of our rights and our freedom all at the same time, and our prosperity is going down the tube as well. But we're getting back to what the real issues are. So you say you have some theories, Alex, that we wanted to talk about?
Well, I'll start with what you just mentioned. If you want to remodel your house, you don't take a jackhammer to the foundation. There are lots of things you can do without busting up the foundation. And we're messing with our foundation now, and people are understanding that. Now, a lot of problems are part of a larger issue. Number one, America is a sovereign nation. We have the right to be, we have the right to our borders, our laws, we have the right to enforce them, and we can do all these things without apologizing. America has been treated like public property for a long time. And I talked to a Mexican illegal immigrant once. He says, America's not a real country, it's just a place where people go. And that's what they see, and that's an insult to us, and I made that clear. So if you don't take care of yourself, like in your personal lives, if you're a mess, you're no good to anybody else.
That's right.
We let this country fall apart, we're no good to anybody else. If we overpopulate our country, we're not going to be able to export food for hundreds of millions of people. We have to look down the road and see where this trend is taking us. America is not Peru or Iceland. We're absolutely key to the human race in this little slice of human history. I believe that. We cannot allow ourselves to fall apart. The result is we carry a lot of burdens, which people are tired of. The wars, the financial burdens, the loss of life. But I'm going to say this straight. I don't think we have any choice. I have to, because if America doesn't exist, it's a superpower champion of freedom and human rights and all of that. Those things don't exist on planet Earth. I'm pretty sure of that. We have to carry the football, but we have the right to take care of ourselves first, and that brings us back to our immigration policy.
Well, that's, and we've faced the destruction, as you said. America is the breadbasket for the world in a lot of ways. But even that we've seen decline because of environmental policies and overregulations that's driving out agriculture and our abilities to produce. So while we're overburdening the system, we're lessening the capabilities of that system where we're eating at both ends of the candle.
That's right. You know, Jerry Brown is a great example of that. He announced to the world
we could really talk about Jerry Brown.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you could spend a week of shows on him.
Yeah.
But he said California is the other Mexico, you know, bienvenidos and all of that. And then this drought hit us between the eyes. And I started writing him letters. I said, do you see any connection between the sheer numbers of people in this country and our problems? Because the drought isn't really so much about water. It's about the number of people who depend on the water. Mm-hmm. And he had a meeting with the L.A. Department of Water and Power, some big agency down there. And he said, you know, I'm beginning to worry that we may have too many people for our environment. And I thought, hallelujah. And I wrote him back another letter saying, no bleep, Sherlock. You know, you guys have to wake up.
But the terrifying end of that scenario is, which people would Jerry rather get rid of?
Well, what I would do, I don't care about race. I don't care about religion, because I don't see people as a group identity. It all comes down to the individual. And if you stop and think, that's what the civil rights movement was all about.
Mm-hmm. Well, these guys are hypocrites. I mean, you got Jerry Brown up there talking about, you know, parroting what the president said is our biggest national security problem is global warming, while he's fracking for oil down on his little ranch down there in Colusa. You know, I mean, these guys are just, you know, they're full of crap.
Well, they tend to be pretty self-serving, but again, we've let the wrong people, and we have politicians, not leaders, and that's what's killing us.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we need to have the right kind of people populating this country, and we need to have the right kind of people populating Washington. Right now, we're doing a poor job of both.
Well, that's one of the things that I often say is I believe one of the best things for America is more Americans. And if you can fix our form of government to where people can emigrate here and become successful and Americanize, you can expand the number of people, expand the number of Americans, and that is good for America. But it's also the current political system that hurts immigration because they can't come here and be successful because of several things. They become subsidized.
Well, you know, if the government does the wrong things about immigration, and the anger against illegal immigration is the highest I've ever seen in my 25 years of activism and 40 years of awareness, people eventually will start to turn against all immigration. That's human nature. Right. And I was trying to tell people way back when, get this problem solved or people are going to get angry at all immigration.
Right. It's kind of what's happening right now. The American people have had enough, not of just everything. And, you know, it could be the old Saul Alinsky thing kicking in, top down, bottom up. They're trying to put the squeeze on anybody who believes in America and the Constitution and drive us over the edge. I mean, but this illegal immigration, I mean, what do you see as the biggest problem with it? I mean, what?
Well, I said a while ago that there's nothing good about it. So it's easy to come up with that list. It's zero. But it's pretty easy to come up with a negative list, too, because there's no shortage of those things. According to Pew Research, there work between 7 and 8 million American jobs. The people who are hurt the most by this are our young, our poor, blue-collar workers, and American minorities, including blacks and Hispanics. And I write to politicians about that. I write to Democrats about that. I have seen neighborhoods in Southern California, you don't see it around here so much, but that were just trashed. Entire cities turned into third-world enclaves. The crime goes up. The expenses go up. The prisons are filled. The educational, I used to teach high school. That becomes overwhelmed. They're speaking 100 languages in Los Angeles.
Those are the guys that are running the North State, by the way.
Well, there have been hospitals that have shut down because the illegals go into the emergency rooms and use them as primary care facilities,
right.
And nobody is reimbursing the hospitals. Hospitals have shut down, which hurts everybody else.
Yep.
There's nothing good about illegal immigration. Then you get into the environmental issues. Mm-hmm. So And there's no justification for their presence. It's not right. It's unfair. It's a burden. And I believe they should all be sent home. And I believe that can be done.
I agree. I think this whole idea that, there's 12 million of them out there, you can't get them out of here, that is total BS. I think we can get them out of here very quickly if we had the will
and we
started
really
actually implementing some programs, and it wasn't based on, how popular we were in our voting bloc. That's the problem. We've got to set a clear example. That's why I think Trump is on the right on the right path. It's like he says, we either have a country or we don't. We either are going to implement our laws or we're not. We're either going to have a rule of law or we don't. And our rule of law right now is teetering on the brink of disaster based on this these morons up there in the White House and in the Senate and the House.
Well, I have a theory about Obama, and I don't know if this is right. It's a feeling I get just listening and watching. I believe the only thing he really cares about is fundamentally remaking America.
Yeah.
I think he sees the foreign crises as inconvenient interruptions. So that's why he has to be dragged kicking and screaming into doing things. But he also believes that if the Democrats champion bringing endless millions of people here and getting them amnesty and refugee status down the road, they're going to get millions and millions of new Democrats. I think that's the main reason they do it. Now, on the right, you've got politicians that are bought and paid for. The corporations want cheap, exploitable labor. Mm-hmm. Or they just don't understand it because they live in a bubble of security and privilege above the problems they're dumping on the rest of us.
Right.
But we understand that now, and now the pushback is coming.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't want to pick on our local congressman, but, that's what we see. We see that he talks a good tune, but when it comes down to the big votes that are going to be for the people, to stop Monsanto from, labeling, not labeling our food and things
poisoning
like that.
Poisoning us?
Stuff that should be a no-brainer if you were in, in the best, working in the best interest of the public that you say that your constituents comprise of. And then you turn right around and you vote to not label our food and there's a big payoff there that's, visible. And
I have met with Wally Herger and Doug LaMalfa both more than once personally, sit down face to face. And they both promised me they would never support amnesty. But when I said, would you send them home, that's when the shuffling started.
Right.
They're hurting our people. Mm-hmm. What is your justification for saying we can't send them home? Now, O'Reilly always says, we'd have to put on our jackboots, kick down doors, and frighten children. And none of that is true. None of that. Mitt Romney was on the right track, and I'm so sorry he didn't win. He's a good man, would have been a good president, but he was not a tough campaigner. But he did talk about self-deportation. That is the key. It's always been the key.
Well, I think that's starting to happen now. And so you see, with a lot of instances where the Spanish and the population are going back to their countries because it's not working out here for a lot of ways because our country is starting to go down the tube.
Yeah, we're in a bad shape.
I think the big thing that killed Romney beside his lack of campaign is that his five biggest contributors to his campaign were the banks. And everybody is at the point where we're, on the other side of that issue is we're tired of the Federal Reserve and J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs controlling our politicians.
Yeah, the money controlling mm-hmm. where our country is headed because instead of us controlling where our country
might have been
is going.
That's right. He might have been a good man, this and that.
But he would have been better than Obama.
Well,
look what we had in office and the people reelected.
You know why I say that I don't think so? And I'll tell you why. You're right, but if Obama hadn't got into office, we would be dragged down a slow death over time. I think that this has been the best thing. For example, gun sales. As soon as Obama got into office, gun sales shot through the roof. If we would have had the slow boat to China, not very many, we would still not be waking up. I'm saying put the pressure on, get a guy in there, show everybody what it's like to get what they're saying that they want.
That's a good point. I understand that. And that a lot of things have contributed to this awakening. Illegal immigration, I believe, ultimately is the issue that's going to determine our future. Right now, that's the way I see it. Because it's undermining the culture, it's fracturing the culture. Our opposition groups are getting so big and so entrenched that there's going to come a time when we really can't deal with them. That's why some of us were trying to wake America up 25 years ago. We went back to the 96 election, New Hampshire primary, and we buttonholed everybody we could to say what was happening. The only guy that listened was Pat Buchanan. In mm-hmm. fact, we were in his campaign headquarters the night he won that primary. The media would not take our handouts. Finally, mm-hmm. one guy did, and all the others ran up and said, if he took the information, maybe we better take it too. But everybody told us that's California's problem. And we tried to say, no, it's America's problem. Pearl Harbor wasn't Hawaii's problem. This
America.
Is America's problem, and you're all going to be dealing with it. Back then, they could not see that, but now they do.
Right, right. Well, and, you know, you bring up the different, you know, campaigns and so forth. I mean, I completely lost confidence in the Republican Party at the campaign rally. What do they call it? The convention. The Republican convention when they, you know, basically stole Ron Paul's thunder by diverting the bus around there so that the delegates couldn't come in so they'd get right. the vote. I mean, it was so shady. You know, they changed the vote, Boehner and all this
well,
stuff.
This is why I'm not a Republican.
Well, me neither.
I was Republican for 30 either. Years, but I quit under George W. Bush.
That's specifically, that was the
right.
one thing
I'm
that broke
the camel's back. I'm on the
conservative
side, yep. but I have no love for the Republicans just because politicians are politicians. Mm-hmm. And even
right.
Rush Limbaugh says we have a corporate party, one big corporate
yep.
party, and then we have the American people. But getting rid of the illegals can be done by... causing them to self-deport by setting up the conditions that make them understand the party is over here.
Right.
Now, mm-hmm. if we just passed mandatory e-verification of all employment documents instead of this voluntary farce, every one of them would be forced out of their job. They couldn't work. Now, when several states passed tougher laws to deal with illegal immigration, like Arizona and two or three others, you know, hundreds of thousands of illegals self-deported from those states?
Yep.
It didn't cost
mm-hmm.
those states a dime.
Yep.
But they had the option to going into other American states. Now, suppose the whole country cracked down. They're finally going to say, well, the Americans woke up. That there's no future for us here. It's going to get harder and harder. It's going to get unpleasant and maybe dangerous.
Or
we'll go home.
Or we'll come back legally as a, and to be wanting to be American
right.
citizens.
Right. But most of them won't be able to come back. Under my plan, I would cut legal immigration from 1 million plus down to no more than 250,000 a year. I would end family reunification completely.
Anchor babies.
I would end chain and anchor babies and chain migration. I would cherry pick the best and the brightest. And when we let really capable people in, the kind that can really contribute, only their immediate families come in, the wife, two kids, I mean, that kind of thing.
Right.
But not the cousins, not
right.
the uncles.
I mean, because those people can visit. Those people can visit. That doesn't mean that they can come here indefinitely.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because if we were to implement my plan, and it's reasonably extensive, but it's also simple in concept. Number one, you say basta. You make up your mind. It's over, and now we're going to do what we have to do. And I would set up a deadline. All illegals have to leave the country by a certain time. You can't work anymore. We're fining the employers. We're doing all these things to make it uncomfortable for you. No more welfare, nothing. If your kids are citizens, but you're illegals, we're going to cut off welfare to them, too, because that's how you live in this country. You're going home, and if you're caught here after the deadline, you will be permanently banished. You won't be able to come back to visit,
I
go
agree.
To Disney World. You won't be able to come back as legal immigrants. You drop that on them, they'll run home by the millions. I flat out guarantee you.
Yeah, the real message is obey the law. That's the message, and that message should be going straight to Washington, D.C. You know, start obeying the law, you jerks up there in Washington, because they're the head of the problem. They're the head of the snake. They're the ones that are causing all of these other things to happen by not enforcing the law.
Because they don't obey the law.
That's right. That's the problem with the rule of law. It has to be. That comes from the term lex rex, as opposed to rex lex. Is the king of the law? Do we have a king? Do we have Obama?
Right.
He gets to change any the laws anytime he wants to. Or is law the king? And if the law is the king, everybody has to follow it equally, even Mr. Obama and the DOJ and Loretta Lynch. And
everybody from top down.
Yeah.
Well, that's even a system like Alex is talking about is scalable, that you could set to certain economic benchmarks at certain parts of the economy. We can accept and adapt to this many people. You know, if the economy is doing lower, then that lowers or the number raises.
Right.
You can
right.
do things like that. But really, part of the question is how long is the American people going to be complicit with our government exploiting people? As Alex said, the left is exploiting them for votes, the right's exploiting them for cheap labor. And for the people that say, oh, well, they're here to do jobs that citizens won't do, that's nonsense. They're here to do jobs that employers can't afford to pay citizens
exactly,
to do
yeah.
because of certain economic systems we have in
that's
place.
That's a good, yeah. very good point. That's a solid point. That's all part of the mix. There's something else I want to say right now. Is illegal immigrants come from all over the planet.
Mm-hmm.
They are of every race and ethnicity.
Yep.
When politicians and commentators focus on the border in Mexico, that hurts our cause because it allows the opponents to play the race card. I've written to Trump and everybody else about that. I've written to Limbaugh. It is a sovereignty issue. It's an American sovereignty issue. And by the way, 40% of the illegals in this country came legally and overstayed their visas. That's millions of people from all over the planet. You've got to talk about the Armenians, the Chinese, the Russians.
Everybody.
All
of everybody. Everybody.
And I don't care if you're wealthy and you flew in first class. If you overstayed your visa, you are an illegal alien trespasser. You're no different from the guy who sneaked across the border from Honduras. No different. And you're going home, too.
I agree with that. Listen, we got a few more minutes. Should we take a break, Bob? Come back and then 5 minutes, and then we'll, you know, say goodbye to Alex here and get to the last of the stories. But anyway.
Okay, with that, if you have any questions or comments for our guests, please give us a call at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Network won't treat me right. Y'all can take the change and stick it out of sight. Don't tread on me. Don't you tread on me. Hey, are you ready for some good news? We're gonna take back our country.
What do you get when you add Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin to an amazing lineup of guests on KCNR 1460 AM?
You get We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Join us anytime online at wethepeopleradio.us.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream soundbites to bring you the entire story on politics, veterans affairs, land use, and private property rights. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us, where we've always got environmental craziness, Agenda 21, Common Core, Foreign Affairs, and everything in between.
It's the most fun you can have while your blood pressure's going through the roof.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
It's that time of year again for the Reading Gun Show this Saturday and Sunday at the Holiday Inn Convention Center. Saturday hours are from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Sunday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Jam-packed with guns, knives, new, used, old, and antique. And bring your used unwanted gun and sell it for cash at this show. This is the show of the year. So remember, the Reading Gun Show this Saturday and Sunday at the Holiday Inn Convention Center.
Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our local community for making 2015 our best year yet. Your continued patronage supports 20 local jobs, and when you shop at Mighty Fine, your money stays in your community, the way it should be. Daily deli specials under $5, a different hot soup served daily, groceries, meat, produce, and over 1,000 cold drinks. Mighty Fine Foods is your locally owned and operated neighborhood grocer. Mighty Fine, $2.99 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Tired of sitting in a waiting room for hours when you're sick? Turn Creek Healthcare has the answer. Our prompt care is staffed with expert medical professionals that are trained in fast-track medicine. We understand and value your time because no one likes to wait, especially when you are sick. Our prompt care is open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. From sneezes to stitches, we have you covered. We are open to all Medi-Cal and Partnership Health Plan patients in Shasta County. At Churn Creek Healthcare, we provide you only the highest quality of care with dignity and respect you deserve. On the web at churncreekhealthcare.com or call us today at 768-2436.
The unmistakable sound of the Temptations. Motown comes to Reading. Sunday, December 6th at 7 p.m. Live in concert, it's the Temptations at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Don't miss the Temptations.
more than 50 years, hit after hit from the Temptations. Now live in Reading at the Civic Auditorium. Tickets are on sale now. Go to the Civic box office, call 229-0022 or online at readingcivic.com for the incredible Motown sound of the Temptations. The smooth stepping and flawless presentation of flair, flash, and class come to the Reading Civic Auditorium with the Temptations live in concert December 6th. Get your tickets now at the box office. Call 229-0022 or online at readingcivic.com for the Temptations.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
One, two, three, four.
It's getting to the point where I'm no fun anymore. I'm sorry. Sometimes it hurts.
Radio. Man, I love that version of Sweet Judy Blue Eyes. I mean, I think it's better than the original Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. That's Jay Sekulow, and, you know.
There is some good lawyers out there.
He's a good lawyer.
I'm just saying. There's not a lot, but he's a great lawyer and a great person.
Yeah, good and lawyer don't usually get put in the same sentence at the same time, but he's one of them. Anyway, so we're here with Alex Landy, and we just got a couple more minutes left, and
I'll wrap it up.
And then, let's go ahead and tell me what, if you got any thoughts left, we'll wrap it up.
Yeah, here's some words of wisdom is, all nations rise and fall because at some point they become victims of their own success. Everybody gets a little lazy, a little too secure, and somebody that's hungrier comes along and knocks them off. We should know that lesson, and I think we're learning it in time to save ourselves. You older generations had better think about the younger generations, because up till now, every generation has left us a better country, and we're going to blow that if we don't get working real hard now for our future.
Right. Got to start teaching the youth, absolutely, and informing them what's going on, and they're starting to understand. They're starting to see through a lot of the lies, you know. And I think that's what. So I think we're going to win.
I think they're going to other resources besides maybe school or, you know, the common education system, or, you know, they're reaching out themselves, like the girls that we had in this morning. They're looking to other sources to get their information because they know something's wrong. Something's not quite right.
I found the story here on The Economist. This is an economist for the Bank of England predicts that robots will replace humans in 50% of the jobs in the next two decades. Automation is cheaper than human labor, even where slave labor exists, such as China. China says it will retrain its low-skilled workers into medium and high-level service workers in a radical shift in economic policy. I mean, you know, we're going to be robots here pretty soon.
Well, they're working on it real good.
In China, they build entire cities that are totally empty because they've got to keep their billion workers occupied or they'll face revolution. What I'm saying is this. America can't solve all the problems of the world, but we can do a better job with our own country, and we better do that.
Well, we appreciate your point of view, Alex, and
thanks
a lot.
Thanks for coming in.
We'll have you back.
My pleasure.
Very good.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a great day.
All right, so let's see. We got some headlines we wanted to get out there, and let's see.
If I hear from you in the future, I'd like to come back.
Very good, okay. Very good.
We will do that.
Okay, so the first headline I got here, this comes from Time Magazine, 9 ways advertisers think we could convince parents to vaccinate. Okay, now this is from February 6th of 2015, but what's interesting about it is they're talking about marketing to kids, you know, how to make this whole thing on vaccinations more palatable and make it funny and, you know, marginalizing anti-vaxxers like Jenny McCarthy. And
make it sound like the parents don't know what they're talking about. And
Can we make it fun? Like polio brought to you by the Flintstones.
Yeah. Dumb ways to die. You know, I mean, what does the – why do these guys have a stake in this in the first place? Why would the media be trying to force us into vaccines instead of giving us both sides of the story?
Well, let's see. Maybe they're getting paid from...
Could it be money?
Yeah, no, I'll whip saying. Out my tinfoil underwear and say it's about depopulation.
And big pharmaceuticals.
Yeah. It's about supporting pharmaceutical companies.
Yep.
And the, you know, the consequences of that, be damned, really. It's just go right on ahead. You know, you look at some of the data that's come out of the CDC and some of the whistleblower stuff where they said there was absolutely a link to autism.
Yep.
And these vaccines. And everybody goes, oh, yeah, but they redid that study. Well, what they found out is it's a genetic link to vaccines. It hits certain genetic subclasses harder than others. Essentially, Caucasian people are more susceptible to autism from vaccines. So what they did to correct the study was brought in a larger group of more diverse people to marginalize the effect that it has on Caucasians.
Wow. Imagine that.
Wow. That's nonsense.
So they've got 9 of these things, you know, that they think they could convince parents to do the vaccines, you know, make it funny, try sarcasm, get personal, talk about measles, not vaccines, you know, launch a social media campaign, you know, add a little fear, you know, make it a game, you know, whatever you do, don't preach, you know. So just I had to bring this up because, you know, what happens in California –
yeah, there you go. Autism, the board game.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there you have it. And,
yeah.
And so we got, you know, these guys down in Sacramento where the whole capital fills up with parents who don't want it to happen, and they do it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, that's my brother. He used to work with autistic children until they lost their government funding for a lot of the programs. He actually helped and assisted in writing the national curriculum for our autistic kids. He was one of the people that figured out that they respond to different color variations and different patterns for learning and keeping calm. And I've been out with him and seen some of these things where you have a child that is slamming their head into the ground with such physical force that they could almost kill themselves to the point of having to be physically restrained because of things like autism and things like this. And you talk to these parents, and my brothers talk to these parents over and over and over, and our child was fine, and 3 to 6 months after the vaccines is when we first noticed the change, when we saw something that started to... And my brother, who has
definitely
worked with these kids, yeah, is absolutely convinced that there was a connection. And then you have things like the CDC whistleblowers and things like that. And, you know, but it's all about the money for those pharmaceuticals.
Now they're saying veterans are going to have to get vaccines, whether they like it or not, too. They're going to force veterans. So,
well, they already do that to them, but more so. Yeah,
anyway.
Exactly. And anybody that's involved in that realm, whether you're teachers, healthcare worker, whatever, they're going to be coming after everybody on
unless
this.
Unless you stand up and say no, and you're not going to do it. And then your job's at risk and everything else, and that's the problem. You know, we've got to start standing up for the right regardless of the consequences, because the consequences are going to be much harder on us if we don't in the long run anyway.
Well, how long is it until the state shows up and says you're endangering your child because
exactly.
you won't vaccinate them? And
so we're
going to
take your
there.
Children.
Yeah,
right.
You have to take your children from you because you know their health is at risk, and you're endangering them. And so we're going to take them and remove them from the home, keep them in our custody, and they will do what we say, how we say. With
All right. Well, let's talk about some money. Let's you know, my favorite subject is finances. And so I want to – here's a quote from The Sun Also Rises, Ernest Hemingway. And, you know, and it described what he was seeing at the time. It said, how did you go bankrupt? And he says, two ways, gradually, then suddenly. And that's kind of the what we're talking about here. You know, bankruptcy starts out gradually because you just keep spending and you don't notice it right away, and the insolvency, and the debts piling up.
I got to have that.
Your credit cards are maxing out, and all happens gradually until you get to a point where suddenly it's no longer sustainable.
Well, that's how it works, right? That's how you grow the economy, as you spend your way out of debt.
No.
No?
No. You have to go on unemployment, wasn't it, with Nancy Pelosi, that you have to go on unemployment in order.
That's right, where the uptick in jobless rates is actually an indicator of the good economic growth.
Yeah, we have to go bankrupt before we know we're we have to go bankrupt before we know we're done.
What you're trying to tell me is that the entire Keynesian idea that our economic system is based on is a bad one.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. I mean, look at the world. Yeah, I know. Who would have thought? You know, I mean. Oh, but it's all good. It's all good. Everything is awesome. It was a goal. The girls were dancing in the chair. Everything is a part of the team. You know, but here's
a loser, great a winner, whatever it was.
It doesn't matter. Because that's what they're telling us in the media. But here's from the New York Times. Half of New York's, by the way, that last story never mind. Anyway, moving right along. This is from the New York Times. Half of New Yorkers say they are barely or not getting by, and the polls show. Half of New York City residents say they are struggling economically, making ends meet just barely, if at all, and most feel sharp uncertainty about the future city, the city's future, next generation. And the new polls show that, some of them are having a hard time with food and the items that keep us going. You know, in the Bronx, 36% of the people surveyed in the new poll said that there had been times in the past year when they did not have the money to buy enough food for their family. That's our recovery.
So let's bring in more people, right?
Yeah, let's.
That'll solve the problem. We'll be able to help that.
This is just political sniping. New York is a progressive Keynesian utopia. It has to be good. People are doing something wrong, and it's probably the conservatives' fault.
Yeah, that's it.
If it wasn't for the conservatives, those people would be fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we have to lose our freedom before we know what it's all about, right?
Maybe you do, but that's not my track I want to go down.
Bring out your dead.
Exactly.
I'm not dead.
I'm feeling much better now.
I think I'll go for a walk. No, you're not, buddy. You're done. You are done.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so it's not good, and it's not getting better, and we just want to, we're not saying this for the doom and gloom reporters. We're saying, hey, this thing's got to collapse so we can get back to solvency and sound fiscal monetary fiscal policy, because this is not sustainable. I know that's an eco word for you greenies out there, but you can't spend yourself into prosperity. It doesn't work.
Lies.
Well, with that from the blog, this is the HuffPost Business, because we like a cross section of the lies. Mm-hmm. The stench of Freddie Mac is back. An $18 billion spree of crony capitalism thievery.
Can I ask a question?
Well, sure.
If the stench of Freddie Mac is back, that would imply that it had never left. I was not aware that it had.
They wanted us to think it was left because the recovery was initiated, and the recovery.
And we're in recession.
I'll tell you what, if we get recovering anymore, we're going to be in ICU. And
we'll see. I think for us, it was the stench of decay and death of Freddie Mac never went away because we were looking at CalPERS.
Oh, yeah, the blended glide path again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. You know, so anyway, Washington's capacity to foster crony capitalism, larceny, and corruption never ceases to amaze. According to the Bloomberg story, Wall Street's shameless thievery from U.S. taxpayers is about to get a whole new definition. To wit, Freddie Mac is handling three private equity billionaires deeply subsidized debt financing in order to take $18 billion in rental apartment deals. I'm sorry, in order to undertake 18... What?
Say that again.
So Freddie Mac is handling three private equity billionaires' deeply subsidized debt financing in order to undertake $18 billion in rental apartment deals. According to no less an authority than Morgan Stanley, the subsidy embedded in this cheap financing amounts to 150 basis points, or roughly $150 million per year on the loan amounts in play. I'm not sure what the percentage of that is, but I'm thinking like $150 million on $18 billion. Not a big percentage. So, you know, time marches on here, and, you know, the cronyism never ceases to get worse. And
they're rental properties, too.
And they're rental properties. Yeah, so, you
That's
know.
Interesting.
Yeah. So you know, yeah, and so the story goes on to say, yet this largesse will serve no discernible public purpose whatsoever. Indeed, over the 10-year term of these loans, the bonanza will amount to billions, but it will not generate a single new unit of housing, nor will it provide a single dollar of incremental rent relief to any low or moderate income tenants. That's because the purpose of these giant loans is not to fund new construction of rental housing, for which there is currently an arguable shortage, and it's not even to incentivize owners to convert existing apartment buildings to so-called affordable housing. Instead, its sole effect will be to put the taxpayers in the business of highly leveraged Wall Street deal making. Have we ever heard this before?
Yeah, I think we've done a round of this.
A couple of rounds, haven't we?
Yeah, QE what? You know,
which one are we on? Five,
well,
six?
My question is
to infinity and beyond.
My question is do the properties in question that they're issuing loans and mortgages on actually exist this time?
Maybe.
They're not hypothetical mortgages of potential property.
Ixnay on the mortgage may.
Yeah.
What do you mean? You want to see the actual stuff?
Well, Freddie Mac and Sally
May. They should actually
May.
Be loans.
Yeah.
They're not just pumping up the coffers of Wall Street.
Freddie Mac and Sally May actually issued loans on mortgages for properties that never
existed.
And then bundled them up and sold them off and then split them up and sold them off to a bunch of other people. On an asset that never existed. That's like if I took a piece of paper and said, oh, I've got $100,000 homes. Can you give me a loan for this? And I'll build them later. And then I never have to pay you back because you split those up and sell them to a whole bunch of other people. And by the time it all comes out in the wash, nobody even knows who owns the note on it anymore.
And yeah, kind of like Bank of America did and Countrywide.
What's wrong with that?
There's a few of them in there.
Yeah.
And then let's just do a robo-signing of them all.
You broke my heart.
You know what I mean? Then there's no problem here.
Yeah, the computer will just sign for you. No worries.
Yeah, no worries.
You broke my heart, Fredo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Well,
it is. It's like the mob, just dumber.
Yeah. So let's go to a quick break, and then we'll come back, and we got two more stories to hit before the
All right.
Show.
Again, if you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Mike, I never wanted.
Came down upon her. U202, the only restaurant where you can enjoy your favorite cuisine on the river. Now with our new menu additions, including classics like sweet potato fries, U202 burger, fish and chips, and the old hatch cover favorite, Mai Mai Almondine. Also new, 6 unique flatbread pizzas with toppings from beer braised chicken, spicy Italian sausage, to seared wild mushrooms. Try their smoked steelhead Benedict or the Cali Benedict with avocado and roasted tomato. And on Sunday, enjoy Linda Bott and her jazz ensemble along with bottomless mimosas and half-off bottles of wine all day. Happy Hour is every Monday through Thursday with drink and appetizer discounts. Friday nights are rocking with live music from 6 to 9. View 202 serves only the freshest local ingredients. Executive Chef Dustin, along with his staff, are passionate about their guests having an exceptional culinary experience. View 202-226-8439. That's 226-8439.
Orchard Nutrition Center's creed is their promise, to offer only the highest quality products that follow strict manufacturing guidelines, because you deserve to live life to the fullest. Since 1982, Orchard Nutrition has always believed that we are all in it together, because the food you eat is a lot more than just a daily activity. The things you consume affect every aspect of your life. Orchard Nutrition Center hosts many exciting educational events throughout the year, including seminars each month featuring experts who present the latest information on a variety of health and nutritional topics. The main focus is on helping you understand how your body works and how to live healthy. These seminars are a great way to learn interesting information in person, and there's always an opportunity to ask questions and really get clarification from the experts. Bring your friends and family. Reservations are not required, but seating is limited. Visit Orchard Nutrition Center on Facebook for seminar schedules, speakers, and topics. Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly, local Whole Foods store.
If you're on Medicare, here's an important message from Owens Pharmacy. Now is the time to make changes in your drug plan. Next year, your current provider could raise rates on your drugs or on drug formularies, and then it will be too late to change. Find out what's best for you. Call the Medicare plan experts at Owens at 1-800-MY-OWENS. We are the pharmacy Medicare patients prefer. Your expert for Medicare D, Owens Pharmacy. Why would you go anywhere else?
So, Chris, December 8th, Haven's monthly Second Tuesday Club is meeting for lunch at Jersey Mike's Subs.
Lunch in a submarine and I have to wear a jersey?
It's a sub sandwich location, not a submarine in the water. Join us for lunch Tuesday, December 8th at Jersey Mike's on Browning Street next to Trader Joe's. Your support will allow Haven to continue to help thousands of animals with shelter and homes as Jersey Mike's kindly donates a portion of the proceeds to Haven Humane's efforts.
Well, I think lunch in a submarine would be really cool and I'd love to wear my favorite team jersey.
Yeah, great.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. Everything that's wonderful is what I feel when we're together. Brighter than a lucky penny when you're near. The rain goes, disappears, dear, and I feel so fine. Just to know that you are mine. Everything that's wonderful is sure to come your way when you're in love to stay.
Sovereign Mind Radio. Sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. Yeah, everything that's wonderful. We're here for you. Yeah. Anyway, we're back. We got about 5 minutes left. And I want to cover these last two stories. Obamacare's fate may rest on patients of insurers. You know, we've got this that came out this last week in the news. United Health's possible exit, you know, puts spotlight on biggest rivals. This is coming from Bloomberg again. And Anthem and I guess it's Aetna see no deterioration in individual market, you know, but they're waiting to become, and the two insurers that are on the hot seat now appear unlikely to linger as sellers on the Affordable Care Act government markets. UnitedHealth, the U.S.'s largest health insurer, said Thursday that if it can't turn a profit in 2017, it may quit the health plan marketplace where millions of Americans buy coverage. So this is not going to go away. I think Obama is going to implode under its own weight.
That means I'm finally going to see my $2,500 a year in savings?
No.
Oh, man.
No.
When does that happen?
Never. I know.
Right about the time I get my doctor back.
You can say anything you want in a campaign. I just found that out. You can promise anything you want in a campaign, and it doesn't matter if you're lying.
Oh, you wouldn't want to be held to those shallow campaign promises, would you?
Yeah, where did I hear that before?
I think that was out of the Reading City Council.
I think that was Brett.
Somebody.
Brett.
Yeah. But you think I'll see my $2,500 a year savings right about the time I get my doctor back?
Yeah, and just about that time, it's going to be rainbows and lollipops, and then the unicorn is coming.
I knew if I just held the faith and stayed the course over the edge.
Yeah.
At the bottom of the cliff, there's happy things.
Yeah, that's right. There'll be rainbows at the end of the pot of gold.
Yeah.
Yellow moons, pink stars.
There's no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Oh. Just a mad Irishman with a stick.
They're beating you with his shillelagh. Yeah. No, it's not going to happen there, Red. Sorry. So anyway, just stay tuned on that. There'll be more later on that story. The next story I have is again from Bloomberg. Stop and Seize turns police into self-funding gangs. Let me read this real quick. In the Washington Post investigative report, an aggressive brand of policing is spreading, has spurred a seizure of hundreds of millions of dollars from cash and motorists that are not charged with crimes. Thousands of people are forced to fight legal battles that can last more than a year to get their money back. Behind the seizures is a little-known cottage industry of private policing training firms. I'm slurring my words. Anyway, what's happening is civil forfeiture is now better than burglary for the police, and it says all of our hometowns are sitting on tax-liberating gold mines, Deputy Ron Hain of Kane County wrote in a self-published book under a pseudonym. Hain's book calls for turning our police force into present-day Robin Hoods. What? Let's see, Robin Hoods stole from the rich to give to the poor. No. He stole the money back from the rich that already stole it from the poor and gave it back to the original owners. And that's what these guys are equating. Stay tuned for more of this because civil forfeiture is going to be a problem because it's a threat to our individual liberty from this stop and seize. And it's painfully clear this is going to be a real problem in the future.
Well, yeah. I'm just going to start committing citizens' arrests of civil assets.
Well, make sure you go to the gun show and get your ammo for. Well, I mean,
there you go.
There you have it.
I'm going to come up and go. I suspect your money of committing a crime. I'm committing a citizen's arrest against it. My kids would like to tell you Merry Christmas.
Don't die a copy. You were born an original. Remember, amateurs built the ark. Professionals built the Titanic. Government is not force. Yes, it is. Government is not reason. It is eloquence and not force. Never mind. And you've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, where we put principles above parties. And have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yes. And this has been KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
I'm Gordon Griffin. Belgian officials have decided to keep Brussels on the highest state of alert into the start of the work week because of the serious and imminent threat of a Paris-style attack. Schools and universities in Brussels will be closed tomorrow, and the city's subway will remain shut down. The threat level was raised for the capital yesterday, while the rest of Belgium is one step below at level 3. Meanwhile, appearing this morning on CBS's Face the Nation, House Homeland Security Committee Chairman Michael McCaul says he's worried that terrorists could be using dark sites on the Internet to plot attacks against the U.S.
Homeland Security officials can say there's no specific incredible threat. I think you need to factor in that analysis that there may be plots underway and communications underway that we just quite frankly can't see.
French police have issued a new appeal to identify the third man involved in the attacks at the National Stadium on November 13. National police have posted a photo of the man on Twitter today, asking the public for any information that would help.